and something for the few minutes waiting for others. Thanks. South African, how are you? Namaste. Kaisa? All right. We can start. There are two people who are not here. Kashifa, there was a death in the family. Nelly Swa also lost her mother. Unless there's someone else. Karas. Someone is very happy. I'm talking Hindu. I mix, you know that. I mix like hell. Let me just put these here. Okay. So it's CGE first. Now I'm looking for the agenda. I'll then allow the CGE to process. Over to you, thanks.
Inkosi Mama, Honorable Mama Memela. Ikamalam Ndingululama Nare. I'm hitting the road running. I'm the chair of the Gender Commission. Mama Story and the team and all the honorable members. With me, I have our team of commissioners, the Commissioner Mgodi, who's responsible for Western Cape. I have Commissioner Sobahle, who is responsible for KZN, but we are all national commissioners. Also, our secretariat is led by our CEO. I call her Keke. So. We also have our head of research, Dr. Tabo. We also have our researcher, senior researcher, Diekitse, on our team. And I'm hoping that Kamraj is our parliamentary liaison officer. He's also with us based at here in Western Cape. Just to kickstart our presentation, Honorable Chair, we are kind of excited to present this report because it gives us a sense of where we are in terms of the combating of patriarchy, and also how far are we towards our work of the attainment of gender equality in the country, and what is it really when we conceptualized this Mama Story that we must have a chapter 9 that will deal with patriarchy and sexism in the country, and how far that achievement has been that we have included it as a constitutional body that we call a Chapter 9. We're going to give you a sense into how much support did this commission that is very central to the work of South Africans has been given in terms of funding and support by the state, but also the different intricacies of its work politically, but its work as supported by the resources. And we sort of wanted to get a complete sense from an independent researcher to look into the work of the Gender Commission over the past 20 years. And therefore, we will kickstart that and present to you the independent research. But also, maybe as the commissioners who already have now in office 4 years to 5 years, much later into this work that we're going to present, is to just give you a sense that the Gender Commission has been working with a deficit of money that we wish we could have. The mandate is so broad that we had to be creative when we came into the office to just make sure that we can reach so many other people. We are currently 20 years down the line, 16 million deficit. We've never been given that money. Instead, our budget has been decreasing. But it says a lot about our commitment to women's issues, to gender issues, because we will talk at some point during our tenure that how much does the state even use to combat gender-based violence, and how much are the officers or the institution that are supposed to do this work are given so minuscule budget, and the Gender Commission has not been spared from this. And therefore, I will hand over to our presenter, our researcher, Dr. Tabu, to just give us a sense, and then we will come back in terms of the closure and how the members, the honorable members, would like to take the discussion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning. Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, honourable Chair. Let me just start by saying that this is a presentation that CGE. This is part of a report that the Commission carried out through the Human Sciences Research Council as part of our 20-year anniversary in 2016. So the review was just intended to look back and assess how far the Commission has come and what the Commission has achieved and some of our challenges. So this is just a brief outline of what the report covered. In terms of the review, we looked at a number of variables that we wanted to look at to assess. What are the things that the study needed to assess in order to look at CGE's progress over the past 20 years and the challenges and the limitations? So the report, which I believe has been distributed to the members of the committee, contains far more details than the slides that we are going to present today. We looked at the impact of the work of the CGE, the constraints that the CGE worked under, and the report contains the recommendations on issues that we needed to address going forward. So the report looked at the journey that CGE has gone through over the 20 years, as I said, as well as the impact of its work and the constraints. And I've already said that we did this work through the HSRC. Basically, we wanted an independent review, so the Commission didn't want to do the review itself. We looked at the work being carried out by an independent, reputable research institution, which was the governance, the Democracy Governance and Service Delivery program under the Human Sciences Research Council. The way this was done, just in brief, the HSRC looked at, they workshopped this method with us, the theory of change, basically to try to chart with us what causes change, how does change occur, and what kind of processes do we have to look at in order to assess how CGE has brought about change over the past 20 years. And it specified the number of aspects of the work of the CGE to be analyzed, and we looked at the type of impact that we felt CGE could claim to have caused during its 20 years of its existence. It was a mixture. The CGE spoke to a number of people that understood the CGE, that were part of the CGE from its formation in the mid-1990s and throughout its 20 years of its existence. Some of the people who were interviewed were part of the formation of the commission. Some of them were part of the negotiation processes at the time when the constitution was being negotiated. So the HSRC went a long way back to look at the people who knew the organization, who understood why it was formed, and what were the reasons for establishing the CGE as an independent, separate institution mandated to deal with gender issues or to promote gender transformation in South Africa. We looked at the huge amount of data, including publications, including documents, legislation that led to the establishment of the CGE, and as part of the exercise of looking at the CGE's work, the study looked at what is understood by, this is the literature that looked at how do you assess the impact of an institution. And it looked at three aspects: state capacity, to what extent do women's machineries influence policy making from a gender perspective. These are some of the aspects, part of the theory of assessing the effectiveness of the commission. State capacity in terms of to what extent machineries such as CGE influence policy making from a gender perspective. State-society relations, to what extent do women's policy machineries develop opportunities for society-based actors such as feminist and women's advocacy organizations to assess policy processes, as well as, so these are some of the variables that the study looked at, the context in which such institutions exist, the patterns of politics in which women's machinery are established, the extent to which certain organizational forms increase the likelihood that policy machineries will further feminist goals, the extent to which the state has the capacity to contribute to social change, and gender machineries can draw on the state for resources, and the extent to which there is coherent women's movement or small divergent groups, or a combination of these through supporting women's liberation movements. We looked at also, there were some challenges regarding this exercise, an exercise of this nature. One of these challenges was the issue of how can we be certain that some of these changes were caused by the organization? So they established the impact of the CGE. How can we be sure that the changes that occurred in society can be attributed to the CGE? How do we establish whether the CGE's intervention was responsible for changes in the circumstances of participants, such as gender equality, when the sector is open to interventions by various sectors? Basically, what it means is that there are many actors in this field. How do you isolate some of the changes caused by the CGE? That's some of the issues the HSRC looked at. One of the challenges was the absence of baseline data, basically to compare what the situation was before CGE was formed and what happened afterwards, to compare the two situations and measure the amount of change, basically because of lack of information on the baseline data, what the situation was prior to the existence of the CGE. So the way this was done was intended to limit some of these limitations, the impact of these limitations on the findings of the study, of the review. I'll skip this slide because it just shows the way the report is structured. So I'll skip some of the slides. The chapters basically show some of the way the report was done. For instance, chapter 5 looked at the background of the how CGE came about, the context, national gender machinery, gender equality post-1994. The previous reviews, I'm sure honorable members are aware that there have been previous reviews done on CGE before this one. So the study looked at those. Some of them involved the ad hoc parliamentary ad hoc committee that was review that was done in 2007. There were some other reviews that were done on the CGE. So the study looked at some of those and some of their findings and recommendations. And then chapter 6 just took the different years, the different 5-year periods of the mandate of the commission over the years. 7 looked at the impact of the CGE. 8, the constraints and the challenges the CGE continue to face. And chapter 9 outlines the recommendations coming from the study. Those recommendations looked at funding, the relationship with the state, strategic focus of the CGE, the use of its constitutional powers, and the reach, basically CGE's ability to reach out to its stakeholders throughout society. This is basically a repeat of what I've just said. The introduction looked at the organizational matters, outlines the strategic focus of the CGE over 5-year periods, because the work of the CGE comes in 5-year strategic plans. And it looks at the legislations, submissions made to legislative processes and documents CGE involved in court cases. It looked, reviewed at information and educational programs that the CGE put in place, gender-related initiatives and complaints that are submitted to the CGE, and the liaisons with institutions that have a similar outlook and objectives as the organization, as the Commission for Gender Equality, and our compliance with international conventions and protocols, and the work that CGE carried out around that area. These are some of the areas of work that we get into. The study also looked at the research and the preparation and submissions of reports that CGE made to Parliament. It focuses on all the research-related activities of the Commission, from conducting surveys to analysis of data to writing and submitting reports to monitoring and evaluation activities, campaigns, and elections. The media profile, it looked at the reference to the references in terms of reports in the Times Media Group newspapers. These are some of the work specific units that the HSRC concentrated on in order to assess what we were doing, because as members can understand, the CGE is involved, and our new chairperson just indicated that our mandate is quite vast. So the study had to select certain areas of possible impact, or certain areas where the work of the CGE could be assessed carefully, and in order to see how far we've gone, what kind of achievements we have made. So it looked at some of these, the coverage of our work through some of these groups of media institutions. And the report, as it says there, the report has a huge chunk of the report, 17 pages devoted to the achievements, 76 pages devoted to the achievements of the CGE over a 20-year period. And even that couldn't do justice to the work of the CGE. 76 pages for an organization that has existed for 20 years is obviously not going to be enough, but the report did devote a huge amount of its sections to the achievements of the CGE over 20-year period, and as I said, this could not possibly do justice to everything. We looked at, in terms of the highlights, we looked at legislation, customs and practices. These are some of the work CGE has done, like, for instance, CGE has acted as amicus curiae or a friend of the court in key constitutional court cases, setting precedents for subsequent behavior and litigation. CGE has, these are some of the findings of the study, CGE has influenced and sort of influenced public and legal opinion on cultural practices such as ukutwala, and I'm sure members remember recent case of the maiden bursary scheme that was put forward by a municipality in KwaZulu-Natal. That's some of the highlights that the study found, that CGE has contributed to legislation, policy, and revisions of policy on gender-related issues in terms of our information and education programs. By the way, these legislative customs and practice, some of these contributions are done through our parliamentary liaison office. We have a department that deals with information public education programs. We have conducted public campaigns on gender equality, domestic violence, and other gender-related topics across the length and breadth of the country, and especially in rural communities. We have hosted the National Summit, and some of our committee members, I'm sure, are aware of the recent summit we held in 2014. Which was, we believe, a major summit which brought together a number of key stakeholders in the gender sector. We have provided various kinds of gender empowerment support to communities in the country. We've had a number of gender-related initiatives and complaints. We have a program that, through our legal department, we've established a legal complaints unit to deal with complaints lodged by members of the public. Members of the public can approach CGE throughout its 9 provincial offices to lodge complaints on gender-related issues, on gender-related matters. We've hosted employment equity hearings through our legal department to ensure and oversee compliance with public legislation within all the demands or provisions of various acts, not only within the public sector, but also within private sector institutions. We've conducted gender transformation hearings in universities. I think this program is still going as we speak to promote to ensure that these institutions of higher learning meet their employment equity targets. We have the study did review our liaisons with institutions similar to us in terms of their objectives, and it found that we have liaised with the Office of the Public Protector to establish referral systems for complaints and investigations, partnered with the Portfolio Committee, Sonke Gender Justice. These are some of the institutions that we partnered with, the KZN Legislature, various NGOs to resolve issues of gender equality, allegations of lack of equal opportunities for men and the abuse of men. In terms of our work around compliance with international conventions and protocols, the CGE has formed part of the delegation which presented the country's first report on the elimination of all forms of discrimination against women to the UN in 1998, participated in the 51st session of the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women, assessed South Africa's level of compliance with international instruments around CEDAW and the Millennium Development Goals. In terms of submissions of reports to Parliament, we have the review, the HSRC has looked at some of the work we have done, research work, and some of the reports we have lodged with Parliament. It noted that we conducted surveys amongst public and private sectors to ascertain adherence to gender equality provisions of legislation, examined gender mainstreaming in special development initiatives and in many other areas. We have researched the effectiveness of the maintenance system. I think this was done through our legal department. In terms of our media profile, we have featured the study, or the HSRC has found that the commission has featured in many newspaper articles over the period of our existence in relation to legislation and landmark court cases, the dissemination of research and findings, participation in gender equality events, and topical issues of national interest. In terms of the core mandate of the CGE, the impact of the CGE, this is once again the Human Sciences Research Council finding that the impact of the CGE has been mixed according to their assessment, in that the CGE has engaged impressively in large number of activities over the 20-year period in pursuance of its mandate. And in the past 20 years, the CGE has moved from finding its feet as a new commission to developing a more comprehensive vision of its role as a Chapter 9 institution focusing on gender equality in South Africa. But notwithstanding some of these achievements, the Human Sciences Research Council found that adequate funding to enable it to meet its objectives or its mandate effectively. It needed to clarify its relationship with the state to enable more independent monitoring of state compliance with gender-related legislation. So basically, these are some of the issues that the HSRC has found, notwithstanding some of our achievements. It found that CGE needed using the powers it has at its disposal to greater effect. So basically what it means is that these are some of the things that need emphasis on, using its powers, the powers at its disposal for greater effect, extending its reach to ensure that gender transformation is achieved amongst the largest possible sector of the population. CGE information and programs have reached huge numbers of people, but these have not obviously translated into transformed power relations in society and into changed behavior. As I said, these are some of the limitations that the Human Sciences Research Council has identified, some of the issues that need to be addressed. A public awareness campaign on witchcraft violence was undertaken during roadshows in the northern province of Limpopo province, and 2 million people were targeted through the roadshows and through extensive media coverage. But it says little tangible evidence demonstrating how CGE contributions to such campaigns have directly contributed to changed behavior. So what it says that despite some of these campaigns, there are continued behaviors that CGE sought to change. Some of these behaviors persist. So basically, that's what the study is saying. Once again, in terms of the core mandate of the CGE, CGE engaged with legislation making recommendations about gender equality and the status of women in existing law, and recommending new legislation to promote gender equality and the status of women. Its performance in the submissions on various policy and legislative matters has been extremely impressive. In some years, submissions on over 12 different legislative issues have been covered. A number of these submissions have been backed by quality research and as such are evidence-based. The HSRC says that the CGE has become an important tool in challenging existing legislation, forming an alliance with those opposing a challenge to the choice of termination of. These are just some of the examples where CGE played an important role, hosting the first national conference on witchcraft, violence, and involvement in follow-up national action plans on this issue. CGE has been involved in landmark constitutional court cases and have changed lives of many women. These are some of the cases that CGE has been involved in. I'm just going to skip through some of them because these are mentioned in our report. And then it says, however, there is insufficient evidence that CGE has been the initiator of new legislation. Strengthening the voice of affected women in policymaking is an area of weakness for CGE. And the HSRC says the attitude should be work with women, not for all or on behalf of women. That's one of the informants who was interviewed for this study. Okay, I'm going to try and speed up the presentation a little bit. These are also some of the cases that CGE has been part of in the past, investigating gender-related issues either on its own or in accordance with responses from public complaints. And as I said earlier, CGE has acted as a friend of the court in some of these cases. I'm going to skip. These are some of the complaints. The slide here just shows some of the complaints that CGE had dealt with, some of the cases that were opened, cases that were closed, as well as some of the cases that are pending. And this is one of the cases I mentioned earlier, the maiden bursary scheme that the CGE has successfully engaged in and intervened in and had an impact in the sense that the municipality concerned did accept the CGE findings. And then the study looks at the constraints that CGE faces. One of these constraints is funding. The study found the limited funding base hampers the CGE's work interventions, particularly at provincial level and in deep rural areas. Largely a male-dominated leadership in government in general and in the cabinet and treasury in particular does not understand the importance of sufficient resourcing programs aimed at gender equality and women's empowerment. It says parliamentarians lack understanding of why there should be a larger funding flows for CGE. Once again, these are the findings of the Human Sciences Research Council study. These are, as I say, some of the constraints that the CGE finds itself in. Now, the first one is funding. The second one, strategic leadership. It says that they found lack of unified vision among CGE management and governance stakeholders, and the general consensus of the strong institutional leadership coupled with enabling environment for enhancing gender equality objectives are a prerequisite for positively impacting on CGE's ability to deliver on its mandate. The next constraint is limitations of the CGE mandate. It says CGE lacks muscle to ensure that its recommendations are enforceable. The third constraint, it looks at appointment of commissioners. It says there's a disparity in appointment of full-time and part-time commissioners, and this leads to power struggles and unhappiness about part-time commissioners contributing more. The period of appointment is too short, which creates uncertainty and pressure related to the appointment of new commissioners by Parliament, often leading to gaps. Insufficient reasons for constraints. So besides the constraints themselves, he said these are the reasons why CGE has these constraints. One of them is insufficient funding. Second one, ambivalent relationship to government departments by virtue of the dual mandate and composition of the CGE. The remit of the Commission in the context of the vast gender transformation challenges confronting society steeped in patriarchy, evidence inter alia by the unacceptably high levels of violence against women. I think this is the last slide, or the last two slides. These are some of the recommendations in the report. First recommendation is that the state should review the budget allocation to the CGE in the light of the Commission's mandate and the enormous gender-related challenges confronting the people of South Africa. In terms of relationship with the state, recommendation number two says that the national gender machinery should establish and maintain a clear separation of powers between the CGE as a statutory Chapter 9 institution, independent of the state and the government. Recommendation number three, in terms of strategic focus, the CGE should articulate a theory of change that involves setting long-term goals, devising strategies to enable the realization of these goals, and focusing its activities on a limited set of SMART objectives aligned to the core functions of the Commission and the provisions of the Constitution. Recommendation number four, in terms of the use of its powers, the CGE should see all interventions involving the courts, government departments, other arms, the public sector, the private sector, and communities through the completion, ensuring that all its stakeholders are and remain accountable on all matters concerning gender equality. Final recommendation, in terms of CGE's reach, the CGE should align its strategic focus to the gender-related needs of the majority of the population, extending its reach to communities, individuals in a bid to bring about deep social transformation through challenging the assumptions behind the perpetuation of unequal power relations and patriarchy. Just the last remaining slide I'll leave to the CEO.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Honorable Member, I think as and when we now get into the AGDI report, in actual fact, we'll see where we are now as a country as far as gender equality is concerned. But we just wanted to be in a position to also amplify and highlight that, you know, with this review that has been done, it shows the move and how much the institution has been able to move directly from the previous issues that have been highlighted as far as the previous process of the ad hoc committee was concerned. And when you look at some of the recommendations that are coming from this particular report in terms of how we can further strengthen our own work, it's very clear that some of the issues that we have raised in our own report as far as the issue of amalgamation is concerned, it can be seen that it actually resonates with some of the issues that are coming out of this particular report. When you look at issues around visibility and accessibility, it's clear that we have done a lot of work as an institution. We have had some proper strategies that are put in place, but obviously there's still a lot that needs to be done, and for us to be able to do some of these things, it's all looked into in terms of the kind of budgets that we have and the kind of resources that we have. As members would know that we are have a presence across the country, but in each province we have one officer of each. We have one education officer and we have one legal officer. And we really are of the view that the country has not yet fully been able to comprehensively deal with the deepening inequalities, continued oppression and oppressive practices towards women.
The gender power relations in the country have worsened. Women continue to bear the brunt of this, and the economic position and status of women has deteriorated, and women continue to face poverty, unemployment, and these worsening economic conditions really render women vulnerable at this stage and put them at the mercy of men, and really forces or causes them to be controlled. A control impasse comes out. And I think this will be seen even more clearly when we look into the AGDI report that then highlights where we are as the country, which shows what are the, where are the areas that we are lacking in, and what are the, some of the issues that we need to be able to take forward as a country. So that's just what I just wanted to add in terms of this report. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm going to allow people to for clarities or questions concerning the report that has been just tabled. Shreya? Honorable Zeka?
Oh, thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, everyone. Chair, firstly, let me congratulate the Chairperson, the newly appointed Chairperson of the Commission, Ms. Lula Manare, and the entire team that has been appointed by the President last week. We are hoping that we'll work better with the portfolio committee as like previous chairpersons of the commission. Chair, I'm not quite sure whether it's me who has not understood the presentation, because I was thinking that you will share with us the successes over the past 20 years. So it seems as if, you know, you're giving us, there's no need, it's only bones, Jay. There's no need, there's no details in terms. I know that inside your report, your booklet is there, but in presentation, you know, we've got members who are not serving in this portfolio committee here. We have invited the chairperson of the multi-party women's caucus, and I see we've got members, again, who are not part of the portfolio committee. So I was thinking that CEO and Chair, you'll share with us what are the successes over the past 20 years in terms of legislation, in terms of, you know, gender-related matters, initiatives, your advocacy programs. So you are just giving some highlights, some way, you know, but not in details. So that's what I was in brief. Just summarize this document to us. Share with us, you know, well, what is it that you have done for the previous 20 years. That's my input, Chair. I don't know other members, how do they view the matter. And, you know, we all accept that in this era, after 23 years of democracy, the males are still dominating in both the private sector and the public. What is it as the CGE that you have done to change this? You know, if needs be, give us statistics or give us the institutions that you have interacted with to make sure that you change this statistics. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Chair.
Ngiyabonga, Chairperson. I also want to reiterate what my Honorable Zeke has just said, congratulating the new Chairperson for the new appointment. And hopefully you're going to give us a new approach. What I wanted to also concur with what Honorable Seke said was because I was also indicating to the CEO, I want insight to say this is too bureaucratic, you know. It's not acceptable. You are presenting a report to a political committee. Yes. And the gist of the issue is that what impact have you made in the last 20 years? Not procedure, you have followed, you have gave us the quarterly report, blah, 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 blah. You have adhered to reports and so on. No. We are about changing the lives of women. So tell us how the CGE has changed the lives of ordinary women. Because the instruments of government are supposed to be used to change, you know, the lives of women. In terms of the mandate that you have been given to heal the divisions of the past and establish a society based on democratic values, social justice and fundamental human rights. You know, the issue of classes among women. Women are not a homogeneous sector. They have classes. How did we do that? In terms of races, because women were divided in terms of race, have we made an impact to ensure that women of other races see other women as their equal counterparts? And that's the gist of the 20 years that I want to hear in the report. The unfortunate part is that the report is also not challenging you to say, have you gone out of the norm? Because your norm is that I bring in a case and then you deal with the case. Where do you initiate issues? Where do you initiate issues where you direct society? Because society is changed by a group of people. It can be a small group of people with a certain thinking. So CGE is supposed to be that group that has to change society. Even in your report, you acknowledge that there is no togetherness of ideas of what is the mandate of the CGE. So, Gekis, CEO, what I wanted from your report was the flesh. What I represent ordinary women on the street. They want to see change in terms of equality. And that inequality that has been there for centuries, how have we impacted? I know I agree with some of the recommendations, but your recommendations are also not unpacked, are not being unpacked. On the issue of funding, we have agreed with the committee. The committee has agreed that we even have to go to National Treasury so that they can increase your funding. But also we are challenging the speaker of this institution because you account directly to the speaker for her to ensure that you as the Chapter 9 institution on CGE, your budget is increased. We must also challenge them, not only the National Treasury. On the separation of powers, I think you need to clearly, the second one, the recommendation, I don't understand it, but you must, because whoever wrote this understand what you wanted to write, but what I needed to do is to understand those separations. So I would like, after this review, that the CGE should go out of the norm. Fortunately, they have put in a communist. Yeah. So I understand that women, in terms of communism, have to be equal to society. So your ideas must be filtered into that equality which we have been talking about. If you talk about workers, male workers and female workers,
what we have seen is that women dig the ground when they don't have the muscle to dig the ground. Has CGE challenged municipalities to stop forcing women to dig those grounds? Everywhere you go in South Africa, women are having they're using tools that are supposed to be used by men who don't give birth, you know? So that is not equality. It's vulgarizing equality. So I want CGE to challenge that, because there is machinery that women can use to dig the ground, not to use the tools that they have been given to vulgarize equality. So all those issues, the CGE must go outside the box. Don't be boxed by cases that come to you, because you only work because people come to you and complain. Take initiative. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable Member. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and let me also thank the presenter and for the presentation, and also welcome the new Chairperson. I think I'm not going to add to the previous points. I think when we talk about the issue of funding, for example, for us as parliamentarians, if we have to go and argue your case, for example, to say, look how brilliant this organization is and look at the interventions and the massive scale impact it has had with a little bit of money, we need more than what we've been presented here. Because I think always the case for us is we support you, and whenever you've come to the committee, we welcome the work that you are doing with such a limited budget. And we often talk about the fact that you are such great examples, whereas other people have got so much more money, for example, the Department of Social Development, but your focus and your impact is so much more effective. But I wanted to talk about the issue when we go to the recommendations. I wanted to ask, one of the points, and you did highlight it, was an observation of the Human Sciences Research Council, but the lack of unified vision among CGE management and governance stakeholders. I think also, again, you know, if we're not a united team, then and we're not sure about what our vision or mission is, then we will also not accomplish all the tasks that we set ourselves. So I wanted to ask what is being done in that regard. Of course, I think the funding issue is very important, but clearly also the entire structure of the CGE, because one of the points highlighted here is disparity in appointment with full-time and part-time commissioners is leading to power struggles, which I also think is you know, when your commissioners are working against one another because the one is getting more money and the other one is working less, that is also not an ideal situation. So maybe I also need to get more if somebody can just give us more information about this. But clearly when we talk about the CGE, it's not only the funding issue, but also the composition. But while I was sitting here, I was thinking this issue, the point here of CGE lacks muscle to ensure that its recommendations are enforceable. I wanted to ask, at what point, because often when I listen to you, it's like you go to departments with a begging bowl. It's almost like you beg them for information. Mm. You beg them to work with you. You are a Chapter 9 institution established by the Constitution. The Constitution is the highest law of the land. You are established as per the Constitution to be a body that safeguards the rights of citizens of South Africa. You don't have to beg any department to work with you. You don't have to beg them for information. You should instruct them. Mm. And I was thinking before, nobody knew about the public protector. Nobody really respected the office of the public protector before an individual in the past came and made it her own. And she even went to court to ensure that her recommendations are enforceable. And I want to say maybe the time has come for you as the CGE with your limited funding, but to start maybe when you are really passionate about one case and there's one department that really maybe is not working with you in terms of complying with the recommendations you are making, to take the matter to court and to make sure that your recommendations also become binding in terms of, because you're a Chapter 9 institution, you shouldn't be begging people to listen to you. In terms of how the Constitution and our democracy is structured, the Constitution is the highest law of the land. You are part of that structure. You are not supposed to be begging anyone to listen to your recommendations, to read your reports, or to work with you. So really, I think in terms of this point where it talks to lack of muscle, I feel empathy for it, but I also think it's up to us to ask you to maybe start showing your teeth and not, because, I mean, even when we were talking previously about gender-based violence, I really think when we talk about focus,
when we talk about government interventions, we often talk about the fact that there's no overarching plan to fight gender-based violence. And I know last time when we spoke, you did identify it as an issue that you want to run with, but then also you indicated that people are not really interested in working with you. And again, it comes through when we talk about the issue that says that there's an ambivalent relationship because of your dual relationships. But really, I think at the end of the day, there are gaps in the system which is failing women, and you have got the power to ensure, well, you've got the obligation in terms of the Constitution to ensure that you play your role in the emancipation of women, and I think you must start showing teeth, even if it means to go to court if nobody is listening to you, in terms of enforcing and making sure that your obligations or your recommendations are binding. Because yes, people are going to feel that you are trampling on their space when you are doing better than them with less money. But really, I think maybe, and I know this year is almost over, but maybe next year we want to see more teeth from the Commission for Gender Equality. Thank you, Chairperson.
Marty Pattis.
I don't remember having my hand up.
No, I was just...
Chairperson, I want to thank the committee for inviting me here. Getting this report of 20 years from CGE. And it's a high flux report. I thought, Chairperson, after 20 years we won't be here where we are here in terms of this report.
Okay.
And I don't expect commissioners to come and complain to us because we have appointed them because we had confidence in them. You know, Chairperson, we asked for a... I think it's 5 years ago, a gender equality barometer. And we were at the offices of the CGE. Nobody could give us, you know, an evidence of what they have done in South Africa.
Yeah.
And you know all what they are saying here? I think it's the barometer that we wanted. If this is done, and that is the reason why I am saying, if this has been done eloquently, yeah, we shouldn't be where we are. What is this that we are not doing? Pat spoke about how we deal with the community and the women's formations that we have. And I think she's quite right. We have discovered that the patriarchy issue, it emanates from how we socialize our kids. I don't hear anything that says here that CGE, what they have done to early childhood, what are they doing with preschools, how they intervene, because by now they should know where this derives from. But we are still doing, you know, what we were, the people who came into CGE 5 years, you know, where before we could even reach 10 years, we are still there. And we have deteriorated, Chairperson, we don't want to hide that. We have deteriorated, we are going down. And people like ourselves who are representing South Africa in SADC, you don't know what to say. Because, you know, all the countries used to look at us, you know, as this South Africa that is, we have deteriorated in many aspects. So, Mina Chairperson, I said, that's why I'm saying thank you, you have invited me here, because I know at least where we are. On the assessment that you spoke about, your achievement on page 21 and 2020 and 2021. I think I do agree on what you have said, but I'm just wondering, Chairperson, my heart is bleeding, Chairperson, you know, without one and two, because as South Africa, I don't know what are we doing. You say you have conducted survey amongst public and private sectors to ascertain adherence to gender equality. And you go on, the compliance with international conventions and protocols. We have been singing this song. I want to tell you right now in SADC, we are talking about gender equality, women advancement, GEIWA. And all what you have said here, I think these are the things that we need, because the objectives of that GEIWA, one is to advance the participation of women and men in political decision making. What do we say when we arrive there? Ngoba sivuthela amazinyo nje, what we are doing, it's not practical. And not only from 50-50 perspective, we are not talking about 50-50 here. We are talking about in terms of substantive participation. Le ichiwa ngupete. And we thought by now, these areas, you know, when you were giving us this report here, I was telling Pat that it's a good report, but the way you are going through this report, Chairperson, I think if on the chapters, we really need to go back to this. People must come and tell us one by one as chapters what they've done. Just mustn't just run through them like this, what we've been doing, because they entail a lot of information as chapters, if you look at them. We can stay here until 12 o'clock if you have to go through them. Chairperson, thank you very much, but thank you for the effort, ECGE, that they are doing, but I really think we need more from them. And we need to agree, Chairperson, that we are all in this. Members of Parliament, ECGE, the executive, the protocols that we ratify here, and Singaya's notable, and then this is what we get. All the international interventions that they are talking about. But when we have to be practical about them, it's not only ECGE, even us when we do our oversight, we are not doing justice to the whole thing, Chairperson. That's why I say my heart is bleeding. Because it's about us. It's about the women. And we are, each and every 5 years we come back to Parliament, we are being undermined. Whatever we do, hence we are talking about the budget today.
Yeah.
Because nobody cares, really. We are talking about the he for she's. We have won an award in SADC about the he for she thing in South African Parliament. Are we doing justice to the whole thing? You can see even in our organizations, not only the African National Congress, NABA, NETA, but once you have a president, Mfazi, you're going to get all sorts of stories. It's not only African National Congress. Everybody in South Africa, it means people haven't resorted to what women are saying. And it's not their intention to do so. So what is it, Chairperson, I want to know? Our discussions when we are with the CGE, and we are discussing about this. We must look at what is it that we haven't done. What is it that we haven't done, comrades? Because we've got these volumes of documents. But as you have said, they are not translating to any, you know, advancement. We are, instead, we are going back down as if we are doing nothing. What is it? We've got our chairperson la. Pat said, fortunately, we've got SACP. And then they go to. And it's not supposed to be. That's what you opted to do. And uzai selenze sa yonkin down. You must use it. I think, you know, now I've got confidence in our people. The only thing is that, chairperson, between us and CGE, we must meet frequently and identify our areas that we think we are lacking. Because it's all of us, really. Thank you, chairperson.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Ngiphinde ngibonge uCGE isithulo sakhe.
Honorable members, all of us in this house, let's really celebrate the coming back of one of our members, Umajeke. We are saying God is great. Ninyanya zavini zigqothile zathi phinda la uvela khona. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Qhubeka ke ntombi.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Anambathi ngithi asibonge nje ukubona ubuso bakhe, siyasho ukuthi uNkulunkulu khona. Yolokhu ekhona njalo kuthina ngoba kube buhlungu khona okwenzekile. Kodwa ke sesiyabonga futhi ukubona. Ngithi mina lana ngibonge la ku-CGE. Yona imali yakhe yabo incane kunezidingo zabo. Enye into engibheka kubona ubuholi obuningi kulo mnyango wabo abantu besilisa, abantu besifazane cha bancane, angazi kwenzeka noma kwakhe uyimpohlo yini oxele. Okwesithathu, angiyiboni inamandla ayinawo amandla okuphoqa izincomo ezibonayo. Okunye fanele ngikhulume la sihlalo wami omuhle. Umhlonishwa uChewu, khona lana ngithinte khona uma ikhuluma la. Before ngingene khona ngizothi ku-honorable lo qeda kukhuluma manje, eyi, siyabadinga abantu abanjengani. Although kukhona le nto ethi abantu abadala abasadingeki,
vele niyasho.
But ngokwami laba bantu basadingeka ngoba labantu abadala bayakwazi ukushinto njengoba injalo. Ngikubona sangathi nje singayifundisa ukuthi masifuna ukulida leli zwe ngempela ngeqiniso liye phambili, asikuyeke ukuthi abantu abadala bangabi bafuneka baphume kungena abantu abasha. Ngoba iy'nkinga ey'khona la sinikezwa yibona, uthole ukuthi bayanikezwa imisebenzi kuthiwa bahambe bayenze bangayenzi ngoba banayo intshisekelo futhi abazi nokuthi leli zwe liphumaphi, inhloso yalo kwakuyini, noma kwakuwuthina mhlawumbe sasiyinyanyela nje ulido omlungu sifuna ukuphatha thina. Ezinye izinto emfuna ukuzisho lezo ngoba le nto ibanga ini ukufikela ukufudumala emzimbeni if masizohlala la ekomitini. Kodwa uthi uma uthi uyabheka izinto esiyihlalele awuyiboni zenzeka phansi. Kuyimanje nje ukukhuluma nani sihlalo kwami, kuno mama aba dansa ula mkwakweli aba felo kazi lapha noma ungabona abafelo kazi omama baneyingane abakhuluma abakhulisa ingane akekho ungazi la uthi ingane imosi yeyingane imizi yonke iphetho yomama ibona abondla izingane ukuthi zidle zigqoke zikwazi ukufunda zikwazi nokuya emfundweni ephakeme kodwa kuyimanje laba bomama laba kunoma baxhaswe le nto sixoxa as a theory ukuthi sihlalele omama ngokwezomnotho nangani bayagxoshwa emgwaqweni mabedayisa ukunoma bakufice ukubona lapho sebedayisela khona kuzange ukuthi balekelelwe baqhutshekelwe phambili into ekhona bahlala bethenjiswa ukususwa lakhe njengalapho eBridge City eBridge City akekho ngazi lapha bekuyindawo zabantu abamnyama kuhlala abantu kunemjondolo abamhlophe bebengafuni ukuthi kusondela lapha ngisho ngabe uyasebenza bebengafuni ukuthi bakuthathe bokubeka kuleya ndaba ethi konke lakomashi kunesigebengu kodwa manje bangene batheshiwe bamuva abantu endaweni bakha amabhizinisi umuntu masedayisa la ngaphandle enqenqebeni bayamgxosha kuyimanje nje bangikhuluma nami nje kunomama eBridgeport athe ngibabone izolo labo mama banethwa izimvula kunenkantolo kwasuka intuzuma ilapha phansi bayadayisa badayisa ukudla kuphekiwe kuzokwakhiwa nesibhedlela lesi sika Dr. Sam khona lapha kunoma baxhaswe laba bantu bathenjiswa ukuthi basuswe why kungacatshangelwa laba bantu ukuthi bakhele imipheme noma imipheme yabona khona lena okwazi ukuthi mase uqedile uvalwe bakwazi ukugcina kahle impahla zamalina bakwazi ukuqhubeka nebhizinisi labo noma lana kulesi sibhedlela-ke banikeze ukuthi leli khisho babayabona bakwazi ukuthi bapheke ukudla benze yonke into bathethe bayotrainwa banikezwe bangeniswe ekhishini noma banikeze ukuthi bafake amakhethini namashiti ngaphakathi why kubonakala ukuthi thina abantu abamnyama njengoba silana thina sasilwela abanye abantu noma ezinye iy'nhlanga na ngibuyele lana sihlalo kula kanjalo nabadayisi nabalimi sihlalo ami nizokhumbula bese se-North West inhloso yesibesihambe no-agriculture honorable story ngizothanda le nto uyizwe ngempela ngoba kudlalwa ngathi la sihambile lapha thina njengo siyomelela ukuthi ngempela abantu besifazane ngabe bayakwazi ukubenefitha kulezi zinto zomhlaba nezomnotho into esiyithole laphayana sithole lapha e-North West ukuthi ama-official abona wona umnyango ka-CGE ngeke ngincome kodwa futhi ungcono ukuna lo mnyango oqondene ophethe le mnyango wethu ama-official laphayana ukuthola ukuthi akawenzi umsebenzi ofanele awenze kubantu ngangosathole omunye umama nje othola ukuthi la mama uyakuthanda ukulima ukukhuthele lo mama kodwa akanikezwa izinsiza uzahlushwe nabantu laba babizwa ngokuthi ama-shareholder laba bazontshontsha lana engadini yakhe and ma uthutha uthi uyabheka laba bantu laba ukhala nje nangento eyodwa at least yini ugandaganda umuntu wesifazane and ma ungena engadini yakho yabokho umuntu okhala umbona ukuthi ufold izandla uyakhombisa ukuthi uyafuna ukuthi asizakale kodwa manje iminyango le ayisizi ilangithi sihlalo uyibonele into esiphuma kuzona sahamba kanjalo saya kwenye indawo futhi nayo le oversight sihamba kule sathola futhi lapho ukuthi kunomama abadobayo laba mama abadobayo kuze kudlalwe ngabo kuthiwa kubona njengoba bedoba la ma izongena ngaphakathi funa akhokhe imali yes nanofishi futhi awudobayo akufuneka abonakale ewudayise emgwaqweni Kambe ubani umuntu ongaphila phela imama uzabhukula nje ayongena lapha emanzini lapha ingoba efuna ukukhulisa umndeni wakhe. Ngekudla phela ufishi njalo ufuna kabe lo fishi ngelinye ilanga ubuye uthathwe njani udayise noma uthenge impuphu ushebe nawe. Uthola ukuthi stili labo mama bahlukumeza ukuba sifikanga nje nathi siyikomiti lalo mnyango lowe women's and president bese konakele na uthola ukuthi kusasetshenziswa imithetho yakuqala. Okunye engikutholayo lana lezi zinto ukuthi ubuhlungu lento yabona la ngiyambona nje uzakwethu bethatha ngathi siyajoga khuluma ngomuntu wesifazane yazi honorable chair umntobo zinhliziyo yami ngizwa buhlungu ngoba kungcono ukuba siyesenze nje siyahamba siyobheka phansi asigcine ema-ofisini niyobona niyoqala ukubona ude besithi kuyasetshenzeka ayikho into eyenzekelayo kulo mnyango uyabona lo gogo lo una 86 angisakhulumi ngalo wamajoli engihlezi umusha ma ngithi hambe khona yobuye ukhala indlahlala kuyona engawana kodwa ngoba unkulunkulu khona kufanele ngabe lo gogo akasekho kwakhona left and right kuzothi umama lo lo mama indlu yakhe izibhalo ikhombise ukuthi lo muntu umuzi wakhe wawakha ngo kudala ngoku indawo yakhe bayinikeza kudala ngo 2010 kodwa still akawuthola umxhaso indlu yakhe inemfanti uthi kuma ngabe liduma izulu imvula ingena ngaphakathi ningabona into ebuhlungu ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi thina ke njengoba sihlala la sithi sihlalela abantu besifazane lo mama njengoba usho nje honorable Seka uthi kunemisebenzi eyenziwa abantu besifazane ngokomthetho lemisebenzi angabe yenzelwa abantu besilisa ngoba umuntu wesifazane akasoze wafana nomuntu wesilisa thina imizimba wethu ikhona la ithakathaka khona ngoba thina sibuye sizale kulento eningi umzimba wethu ozenzayo lo mama njengikhuluma la ongithi hambe yokubona emgwaqweni usebenza umgwaqo uhola imali ongayazi ulala endlini eyi-1 neyingane eno-25 years ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi thina-ke masihlela sihlaleleni nina uqobo njengoba nikhona la ngoba ezinye izinto ngiyakubanga leli gama elivezwa lalo ukuthi ngokomthetho fani lezi zinto zonke senihambile noyibheka nahamba naya kumnyangweni walokhuzano kwa-public protector ukuze kulele abantu ama-rights abo eMalmont basahlukumezeka abantu eMalmont last week kunomama osebenza ejalidini lomlungu lo mama lo ulunywe izindle zamnaphaza zamqeda usesibhedlela njengoba ngikhuluma nani kodwa udaba lakhe alithathwa lutho embukela umlungu bantu basahlukumezeka amaplaza athengwayo kuthiwa athengelwa abantu abamnyama laba bantu bagcina kuthiwa amaplaza wabo ekugcineni uthole ukuthi umlungu lowo wayekade khona usashiya omunye umuntu ngaphakathi wakhe uyena futhi osakufunaka aqhubeka ahlalele aze abavalele amanzi okurana amaplaza uthole ukuthi laba bantu besifazane babone ukuthi abantu abathathiwe nje bayoqukulwa tshela into esizibona kwi-oversight babone abantu ukuthi balambe ubabuka futhi abazi lutho ngale nto baqukuliwe bathathwa bazobeka ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi nina-ke njengo-CGE niyakwazi ukuthi lezi zinto nizisukumele zingene enkantolo ma ningakwazi nizoyifaka nini ku-public works public protector because asikwazi thina ngempela ukuthi sizolwa la silwele lelizwe ngama-80s silwela ukuthi abantu bakithi abamnyama sibabone bethuthuka kodwa still sibona abantu bakithi kunoma bethuthuka ubabona beze beya ngaphansi yabona kuyimanje sikhuluma ngo-human traffic yingenxa yendlala uthola ukuthi umuntu usenza into angazenzi khona abantu asebephuza ukubona ukuthi lo muntu ephuzayo akasaphuzwa bethanda sikhulume ngo-sex worker onke lezinto mawuyibheka funa uzazi uyibuze ukuthi ikhozi zazo zonke lezi zinto ungaqhamuka sesithi siyayiphasisa yebo funa siqale sibheke ukuthi yini and yabona mina ngifuna umkhohlisa ayikho into ebuhlungu ukuyibiza ukuthi honorable omnyama ohlezi lana eParliament odla kamnandi while our people still basahlupheka phansi ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi ngempela ngempela nifuna sizocula la ekuculeni kwentu sigeyinani ngiyangifikela ngo-2014 but yonke izinto mina ngikhale ngazo ngifika la ithinta abantu besifazane angikaze ngize ngibone nogodo kwenzakalayo instead of that nje yikumnandi nje size la iParliamente sifike lana kujatshulwe sidle kamnandi sicevuze sicevuze emva kwalokho sibuyela phansi mina ngicela ukuthi ngikusasa ningitshele ukuthi no thina siyile sayibona inkinga nakho la sesikhona ngiyabonga
no thank you Chair. I am can I be detected Chair? I'm the number two.
Thank you, Chair.
So far. Mina ngishaya amagama mina. So far mana ngishaya amagama mina. Yena ushaya
thank you, Chair. My name is Jordan. Okay.
A brief translation. The Honourable Member started off by thanking God as well because she was seeing the Honourable Member who was involved in a car accident. She said that it's a pleasure to see her and it's a sign that God is around. She then went on to thank the CGE. God is good. She then thanked the CGE for the brief presentation and then she touched briefly on a couple of points. One of the couple of points was regarding the budget. She feels that the budget of the CGE is too small and the responsibilities or the objectives are a bit high or there's too many responsibilities placed on the CGE but the budget is too little. The second point is there's too many men in top leadership position. She feels that there should be a balance. Apparently there's too many men in top positions. There should be a balance. It should be equal. And the other point that she made was the CGE has no teeth. The CGE has no enforcing powers. There are many good recommendations and solutions that the CGE comes up with, but because they don't have enforcing powers, they seem not to have teeth. She also expressed the need for the elderly because for their brutal honesty, adults, should, the younger ones should stop sidelining them. There's also rumors or there's also word around that say that the elderly must go home and the youth must occupy top positions. This is exactly why the elderly are needed, because they know the history of this country, they know where we come from, because the youth seem to have lost direction. That's why the elderly are needed to steer them in the right direction. And then she touched about the bridge city, about the fact that nobody used to want to be around that area because of there's a location nearby Bridge City called Wamash, and nobody wanted to be around that area because of the crime statistics at that time. But now, white people have moved closer, they've built businesses, and now they suddenly want to be closer to this location. And as a result, black people have been moved away, they've been chased away. There are also vendors there who are selling food. They are being chased away. Why can't they be assisted? Why can't they be trained? Why can't there be facilities, build shelters for them, train them, develop them, try and assist them in any way that's possible, in any way that can improve them? Because some of them are widowers, some of them are held in houses, some of them are widowers. But instead of them being assisted and developed, they are chased away. She then touched Northwest. Oversight was done in Northwest, and there are a couple of issues that she touched upon. She touched upon that there was a woman who was seeking assistance. She only wanted a tractor, but because no one was willing to assist her, she has received no assistance. You could see that she's willing to work, but she lacks resources, but there's no one who was willing to assist her. And then she also touched upon the fisherwomen. There are fisherwomen in the Northwest who are unemployed, who fish for a living, but they're expected to pay an entry fee at this park. How are they expected to pay an entry fee at this park if they're unemployed? And they're also told that they can fish, but they cannot go and sell on the streets. You cannot expect people to eat fish every day. Surely you expect them to go and sometimes trade the fish for other food so that they can sustain themselves. She then also said she wishes that instead of meetings like such as these, more time should be taken to go and do oversights, to go and see these things in action, to go and see how people can be assisted. There are also various pictures that she held up to show the honorable members and the various people in this committee. These are who don't have houses, women who are living in shacks, women who, when it rains, water goes through their houses. She also said, how can we consciously come here and sit down and be happy with what is going on when women down there have not been assisted, when women down there are still suffering, when women down there are still sleeping in houses, in one room houses with lots of children? What are we doing here? She also touched about the woman in Melmont who was bitten by a dog in full view of her employer, and nothing was done. What is being done to assist these women? When will cases such as these be taken to the public protector so that action can be taken? The last point she touched upon was she's been here since 2014. She's been reporting continuously on various cases that she feels aggrieved about, but nothing has been done up till today. The last point she also made was the reason why we have issues of human trafficking, sex workers, and so on and so forth, and illegal activities being done by women in particular, is because we need to find the root cause. It's because of lack of employment. It's because women are not provided for. It's because women are not assisted. It's because women are not being given opportunities. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you, Chair. My apologies. I was not quite... I couldn't understand, but I think it's quite... As a visitor. I think there's one profound quote that is being reflected here, which is on page 29, which makes me to, as much as I wanted to just to listen, in opening the quote to say the attitude should be to work with women and not for or on behalf of women. I think that's very profound. And in welcoming Ms. Nare on her appointment as the chair, I will have an added responsibility. And why I will feel pompous about it is because she grew up under my leadership. But more and above that, she's from a nice, cool, windy city called PE, friendly. Don't worry about the wind. It's a very friendly city. Chair, I just wanted to, I think in agreeing with what other members have said, one would have expected a more, I think the Honorable Chair raised it very profoundly. I'm sorry, that we are at a stage where we are to be told now that in these 20 years, in the exception, in the formation of the CGE, where are we? I'm raising this because I haven't gone through the book. I don't see in the presentation anything that talks about in this challenge of gender equality and obviously the traditional, what then becomes the role of traditional leaders? Sikuphi ngoku kuba sithetha ngento nge-CGE bayibona kanjani bona? Two, I want to make a humble advice. I know that they are to, they depend on, they are to visit departments. They must go, and that's what I want to put, Chair, to the commissioners. They must visit schools, because I'm being disturbed. They must visit schools. They must visit schools, Chair, because I think that if we don't have a concerted effort as an institution of this nature in ensuring that we go and speak with boy children and girls, so that they understand why it is not accepted for them to bully boys, other boys and girls, because that's where it started. You won't expect my 33-year-old son to know that he's not supposed to clap. So in this to clap a sister or a boy's a girlfriend, if you are to do things differently as the commission, my view is that you are not to be dependent on the basic education. I'm making an example about it. Secondly, is it not about time that you name now and shame those departments who are not cooperating? In my view, that's what, so that we understand. Bangabi general apa. I hear members also, they are general. Name and shame them. If it is the Department of Health where I am deployed, tell us in the Department of Health, where is the Department of Health, where it is not cooperating. I know it is one of those departments that have improved. You've got midwives now that are males. Can I not be intimidated, Chair? The last two points, which are very profound, on page 20, the last sentence, allegations of lack of equal opportunity for men and the abuse of men. I would have thought that it would be important that abuse of men by whom? Is it abuse of men by other men or abuse of women, of men by women? I know women don't take this very kind. I am a woman. I am from a sector, Chair, where I have laid out, I have treated men that were abused by women. There may be a friction, but it's about time that we encourage, we talk about, and you are an institution that is to take a lead in that. Lastly, Ms. Nare was on an interview, and I think Ms. Gisele, which was a very profound interview, Chair, talking about how women are abusive to one another. Yes. How women are abusive to one another. And if as women we can talk about it, and I want to congratulate her, because that was a very profound, and we kept quiet as women. Satula, kubakalogu, we want to portray as if all the time we are victims. Yes, we are, because it's the majority of people that are being abused, it's women. But we must not speak as women as if we are holier than thou. And in that interview, I think Ms. Nare was putting a picture at all levels, at home. And the abuse of women by women is not only about ukumbetha umuntu, that person who's looking after your children, that person who's taking care of your house, have you ever asked her, utabantwana bakho benzelwa ngubani lunch? Who is ironing a shirt of your partner? Or what you want is that you want your house to be spotlessly clean, both black and white.
So this institution, it must lead. So lead, speak about it, reflect about it in your reports, so that when you say you want to deal with the issue of patriarchy, when you say you want to empower everybody, when you want to ensure that as we elevate, we don't build a society that thinks that men are animals and women are angels, both because it's a societal matter, both men and women are to ensure. The last one, I think, here, Reflectani, please, Ms. Nari, every organization, every department, it's gender. There are organizations that speak as if everything is, but when you look to them, you see that it's still male-dominated. And therefore, those are the situations that we are to talk about what is happening in the religious sector. Not only in the religious sector, talk about. So there must not be sectors that we handle them with kitty gloves if we want to transform the society, Chair. That is my take. If we want to transform the society, we must talk. Obviously, we are not going to be reckless. But how then do we ensure that we build a society that we, all of us know that we are equals? Thank you very much, Chair. My apologies, but could I request I'm going to leave because I've got another meeting, but I wanted to thank you.
Honorable Bengu, let us please be reminded that there's a second presentation and we're running out of time. Over to you, Ms. Bengu. I've forgotten the correct surname now. Continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would also want to concur with all the members by welcoming our Honorable Member Macheke and also our new CGE, new Chairperson. Hope that we are going to work together with you, as always, with the CGE. I fully agree with Honorable Seke on how the presentation, on how we have expected from the presentation. Bearing in mind that what you have said is also written in your report here, but what I have wanted to say is that as the CGA, we know that you have been going around the country having the legal clinics, but we wanted to see in your report how you have changed the lives of the people by solving all those cases that have been coming out from then. Some of the cases are the ones that Honorable Kaula has also said about, and also Honorable Mastori, who has also been alluded to. And also on the politics of this country, how you have managed to change the real politics of this country on the representation of women in political parties, public and private sector, looking at the statistics on how it has changed the lives, the whole politics of our country. Also to look at how you have influenced Parliament through legislations on gender mainstreaming as the CGE, because we know that you are the one that is making sure that gender issues are understood by the people of this country as well as the government. And also, lastly, is how you have enforced the political parties who have a 50-50 representations of women. We needed to know how you have dealt with these issues because, you know, as Parliament, we know that you report in Parliament, but to enforce the political parties for the representation of women, we only depend on you on how you dealt with those political parties. And also the representation of the people with disabilities in all the sectors
of the country, whereas in the working environment, as well as the representation of all those people with disabilities, on how are they being assisted, or on how the public or the private sector or the government departments are making sure that they put the disabled persons at the forefront on how they can get their opportunities. And also to thank the CGE for what you have done, because your work is what the Department of Women should do. But what we have found is that what you have done is what the department is supposed to do. That is why I fully agree with Honourable Member to say your work has been overwhelmingly happening in all the areas in our country. And also want to thank the chairperson for making sure that you have come today to give us a 20th review of your report. Thank you, chairperson.
May I then use age now? You'll be number last. Robinson?
Thank you.
We'll see to that.
In course, I'm glad I'm a Makulu. It gives me some status. I'm not going to speak for long because a lot has been said, and I must say that I concur with our colleague Grace and Mamateu and also Liesl. I'm not going to repeat that. But at the same time, I want to say thank you to the CGE for what you do under difficult circumstances. And I think we should not be unrealistic in pointing fingers at you and saying you have to do everything that the rest of the society does not do.
Mm.
I agree that schooling is very important, ECD, etc. But so too, mothers and women must start within their families. And we must make sure that we treat our families and make sure that boys and girls and also our husbands share in tasks and understand this. So it is really important that we can't just segment they're doing a good job. And then to say that what have you done, what have you changed? I agree the challenge is enormous. But what has happened within our country? What has happened within the government? You know, so I think this is all part of a bigger problem that we have, where there is enormous patriarchy, and that we have to make sure that the representatives that come to Parliament are also people who have the standards and who have human rights culture. That is the biggest thing. We're talking about respect for one another, men and for women. But this is the basis of our constitution, that it is a human rights culture-based one, and that we have to grow up and encourage and enable people to understand that we all have responsibility for making the changes. Of course, one of the big problems is unemployment, and that is due to a large extent to the state of the economy. So if people are unemployed, they get despairing, they get vicious, they go into alcohol and drugs, and that's very often where the abuse comes from. So we have to see what else can be done with regard to, creating social entrepreneurship and so on. So we must deal in our own lives and in our own homes and in our own parties with sex pests, with people who are patriarchs and who do not stand up for the values that our constitution has. I agree with Mama Kaula that trafficking and sex work is something which is growing, and it's something that we need to pay attention to and see how, and I know this is being done through the Multi-Party Women's Caucus, and I personally am too. But one other problem that was pointed out was the lack of the unified vision amongst the CGE and the terms of office and all that sort of thing. I think that's really important, and perhaps with a new CEO, one should make an effort to see that everybody is on the same page and see what we can do. But, you know, now that the fate of the CGE is being reconsidered, and I think that we should fight for it very strongly, that it is retained as a separate entity. Imagine how less effective you would be if you were lumped with all the other Chapter 9 organizations. So perhaps this is the time where we can, look at the changing the structure and ensuring that the terms of office are long enough so that you actually get a chance to get into the job before you're booted out again. So thank you for what you have done. And yes, we can all do better. But I think every single one of us, as women, as mothers, as grannies and aunties, need to make it our job to make sure that patriarchy does not persist and that we as women stand up for one another and that we don't just bow down to the patriarch and not support our sisters. Thank you.
The chance for the youngest honourable member.
Thank you, Chair. Very quickly, you guys are a small department or a small Chapter 9 institution with a very limited budget. Oftentimes you are doing research on issues ailing our country and things like that. Now, I think we can all agree that the four major areas that we need to focus on are education, health, safety, and getting women into the economy, inclusively, meaningfully. So what I would like to ask is when you do your planning and you are considering your approach and your plans, your research plans, etc., that to contribute meaningfully, you need to provide solutions. And instead of just tackling gender violence, instead of just tackling, you know, these isolated issues, the foundational causes of the afflictions against our women are education, health, safety, and inclusion in the economy. So if you could take a look at those four things and then meaningfully provide a document with solutions and meaningfully influence the departments and the kinds of legislation that will have a change on those things. Women can do it for themselves. We just need to provide the right parameters. So that is just something that I'd like to contribute. And also, ukuthwala and female gender mutilation. We need to criminalize these things. The forced marriages bill is still not being passed. There are questions around the Human Trafficking Act, whether it's effective or not. Those two things are plaguing our women, and it's in secret, and it's controversial, and whatever. We need to call for the criminalization of those practices in our country. Bah.
Mom Story, do you want to add something?
Sorry, Chairperson, for misbehaving, you know.
Ma?
Sorry for misbehaving in some instance.
Oh, well.
I'm sitting next to this naughty girl here.
Very, very naughty.
Sorry, sorry. You know, Chairperson, somebody reminded me, I just wanted to know from us, what is the value of the staggering of
the
terms of office for the commissions? This commission is staggering.
Mom Story, I'm going to shock you. That is not only the concern, but how do they then say there must be amalgamation when people have their different mandates? That's the thing that is facing us now.
Yeah. You know, I know that we had a report from Deputy Speaker, and I've listened to the report, but no one is dealing with this, because partly this is the problem that arises. I don't see it assisting us in any way. So many chairperson, Tina, here in Parliament, we must take this up, because ECGE cannot do it on their own. What is it that we are achieving out of this?
It's even worse now, Mom's story. I can actually give you some info because we were called to number four, a jail. Yakumbul? Yes, we were called to that place. We were told, we're not asked, whether we actually endorse this new move. We were told that human rights was actually maybe going to be taking CGE. And we put our feet down. We said no. And it was thrown in my face, and here they are. That after all, you work with them. I said, yes, I do. And I have confidence in the work they do. They can improve better. But there is no clarity as to where this was actually decided, what is going to happen to other people. So we are just in limbo. Thank you. Can we have the second presentation?
Thank you, Mom. I think as the Gender Commission, thank you very much to the honorable members for your kind words. And I think some of the aspects we're still going to work with them in our committee, because I see that our committee members are here. And I think one of the successes of the Gender Commission in turning around actually is the role that can be partly taken by our committee that does oversight here in Parliament over CGE. So some of the things, Mama Memela, is that we will then fix as the flight is on air with the committee. So we will continue that work, Honorable Tseke. I think the discussion was very enlightening, but I also want to put a dampener, Mama, and say, Mama Story, every time the commission goes, we say things have collapsed. And I know that government doesn't want to hear us when we say the gender machinery framework has collapsed. And I will tell you that we have spent more time training departments on what is gender, what is the role of the gender focal person, how do you turn around and employ more women? What must be your training programs for women? What do we mean by ring-fenced procurement for women? The department comes back to the Gender Commission and tells us, this is our document, please review it. Look, how can we do more procurement? So that's the work that we have been doing. And I think, Honorable Tseke, when you spark that debate on our success, it's one of the things that as much as we do all our work, the more we do the work, the more now we are called in to do the turnaround for them. We are busy with universities now. We have legal hearings. It's our initiative. We have called over 30 private companies at the moment. And the private companies, they resist coming to the Gender Commission. We have to subpoena some of them. They even come with their lawyers. Just to make sure that they listen to what we are saying. But what I can summarize to you from the legal hearings on the private sector is resisting to change. The senior management of the private sector is still male and is still white. I think we have those statistics even from the Statistics General. But what is interesting is that broadly women are underrepresented, white, black, colored, Indian, you know the differentiation, because we say to them, okay, even if you are white male dominated, give us a sense are you employing any woman of any color then? And it's still a difficult answer for them to give. And then they will come back to the Gender Commission. What we have opted to do was that if instead of taking them to court, because when we are listening to the CEO says, I don't know how did it turn out to be what the Gender Commission is seeing in front of it. Because they come with their vision, objective, you know, business, private sector looks efficient, but it's not. And then they will say, no, this is what we are doing. And then we start counting what is happening. Where are the women? What are the skills here that are needed? Where are you training your women? You find that the private companies are busy training women not to take them to where the critical positions are, but rather manage MBA, but you find that it's not going to change the engineering sector that is male-dominated or that division that needs women to be inside. We have also called farm workers, and we have raised our issues with them. We call actually the farm owner. We have called the different ShopRite, Pick and Pay. I can tell with you now we have a dispute with ShopRite, the contracts of women. Women are raising the issue of extended trading hours. We shop around Christmas until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Those women are not given a uniform standard for transportation to go home. And they have been reporting some rapes, and sexual harassment is rife in the workplace for women. And what we have found out was that the CEOs themselves have then undertaken that they will work with us, because we say to them, report every 6 months the cases of sexual harassment. What exactly have you done? And then we follow up. The other issue that we have raised, I think, on legal, we are working now with the Magistrates Commission, because we are not happy in our court monitoring process. We are not happy with the magistrate's conduct, and we are not happy with the defense lawyers inside the court, the kind of sexism that the lawyers portray. You can just hear on, just give you a case on Bricks, a former hip-hop star or something, quite a star. This is what the defense lawyer said. This girl didn't feel any too much pain, because the only thing she lost was a hymen. And it's said in court, it's televised, the proceedings. And here in National Assembly, when you are fighting members of parliament, we hear how you call each other by sexism. There's one political leader who said to another honorable member, you are a child of a dishonorable mother. In Xhosa, you are a child of Isfede, a mother who sleeps around. And that was a member of parliament standing there in front of the podium, widely publicized. Your national assemblies are national. And we watch them with our kids. And I think the national members must also, the honorable members, maybe you should also call for an age restriction on your national assembly airings, because the kinds of utterances that you do, they actually they entrench further patriarchy. So I think that in sexism, they deepen the sexism part of it. And I'm just pleading with you. And then we also have a case with the University of Venda. And you find that there is a gray area when you have women who have had a relationship with a boss, and then the relationship terminates, then the boss always wants that favor. And therefore that woman cannot say now it's sexual harassment. And we've seen that the labor court actually doesn't want now, when the power relations have changed, when the woman is saying this is now sexual harassment, labor court says no, you actually had a relationship, so why are you resisting now? So that is why we are working with the Magistrates Commission to raise what we want change in the articulation of our magistrates. We want change in the defense lawyers, what is applicable. And I think for me, those are the things that we are working with now. The ShopRite case is under investigation. On the traditional, I'm just trying to pass through the traditional leadership. We are busy there. We won the case of the virginity testing bursaries. The municipality has withdrawn that bursary, But what we have made sure, I want to say to the honourable members, because our interest was not to shut down the cultural practice. Our interest was that the right of education and the right of culture. And we have restored that the bursary is open, and we have actually said to the municipality, make sure that the maidens that were interested before, they are still taken on board, because it's now a broad bursary for young people who want to do their further study. Because our interest is that there's no university or any school that actually looks at girls whether they are virgins or not virgins. So the right of education and support, and the right of disadvantaged young women who come from single-headed households or economically depressed, they must be supported by the municipality. So we just reinstated that and reformulated with the municipality. We have agreed to reformulate the contract of the bursaries. But we are saying to them, if we are supporting any cultural practice, whether it's maiden culture with the king, make sure that you do a Hindu cultural session also. Make sure that you do another tribe thing, another ethnic thing, as long as it is supporting your work towards HIV and AIDS, or making sure that you do life skills for young girls, but support all the groupings, the cultural practice. Mpumalanga, we were asked about our powers, and I take that point. We are going to strengthen our legal powers that we need to do. But I also wanted to reflect to you that we have cases where the rapist got 17 years or 21 years or whatever. The Gender Commission is part of the amicus, friends of the courts, in that we have a Western Cape, Ukutwala case that we won. That person is in prison for a long time. We also used our Sabina with an old man that took a 14-year-old to be his wife. We went there, we raided, and we rescued the child. And I know that there was a big hullabaloo with NPA. How can the Gender Commission use this power? So it's one of those things. And we also are in trafficking case of a Thailand woman. Actually, the judges now, they usually call the Gender Commission to be friends of the court, or they come and say to us, this is the case, what is your point? The Gender Commission must help. We had a case of a trafficking of Thailand women. Maybe the other highlights is also, I take all the other comments that you have, we are going to incorporate them in our work. The mining companies, I must say, we are doing research with mining companies. I know just to share this, because at least here we won't be caught. I know the head of legal, who happens to be a male, our researcher here, he's doing a mining, and he stopped at some point and said, you know, I'm doing my research here, I'm bound by my ethics, but here there's rampant sexual harassment and rape of women underground. And that is now a case that we might have to, I think you were saying about the powers, we have to break now some of our ethics, because whilst you're doing your research, then you discover that the NPA needs to come here overnight and all that. By the way, we are working with the NPA. I think the vision, I can assure the honourable members here, the Gender Commission is using a framework. We have agreed on a framework of looking at race, class, and gender. Because what we have done also, we can't only use one lens of a feminist. Feminism, it has a first wave, a second wave, and a third wave. And we all know that the first wave is that you can live without a man, don't wear that bra. And then I'm just paraphrasing it. But the third wave is that as much as you are saying you can't live without men and we must fight men, the system is patriarchy, we must fight male domination, it's all these men. But the third wave is all about that if you are looking at issues of race, you will find that intra-race, the role of men is very important to other women. For example, without an uncle, you can't do this. Without a father, you can't do this. Your child cannot do this without the presence of a male figure. And what we have said is that our feminism must make sure, I think Umama was raising that, our feminism must make sure that we crisscross around our first wave, second wave feminism, and the third wave of feminism. And that is what we do. That is why we have adopted the framework of race, class, and gender. So the political parties, it's tough to work with political parties, but I must say we are asking, we can only ask from you that look at your political parties, how they are performing. Look at them, their leadership structure. Look at whether they are funding your women desk. Look at it. Look at them, whether they are taking your recommendations seriously. Because when we come in, they think that we are playing politics with them. But it's easier for when the honorable members look at their own political parties. We have gripes with your political parties. They are not taking women leadership issues seriously. Some of them will respond to us that we are, then we count the numbers, know where they are not in influential positions. And some of them, they have the separate women's league or women's movement, women's what, and you will find that it's not funded and their recommendations do not come to the main body of the political organization. So we are trying to say to our colleagues, honorable members, the gender machinery is in your hands. Your premiers that are located, they are actually running the gender machinery in the provinces. Please take care. We are raising a red flag here. Thank you very much, Chair. And every other thing I have listened, the women and the economy, Mama, we're going to be more on that. Women hawkers, their settlement, we're going to look at those issues. We're going to actually look at them. We would look at the employment equity as part of our legal hearings. We have a bigger gap, the gender disaggregated information in the country. Every time you ask the police how many rape, they is put as an assault, common assault and all those things. So we still need to work at our gender disaggregated data. Our staff, in terms of the unity of our vision, the commissioners, we have our different discussions on our outlook on the feminism, which all the lenses that we need to look. We do look at race issues, and I must say the other thing that I've found, and I think I must raise this one, the young white women are being abused by the young white males, and they rely on private lawyers and courts. When the money is finished, these young males, they take these women's children, they put them on social media, effectively imprisoning them. We see young women who are white having strokes because of the difficulties of these power relations. And I think for me it's a plea, because we say black are running to support their NGOs who are there. But I think that apartheid is the one that has obscured our vision to look at each other. We are in silos. And I think for me, I'm asking that where we have a lot of these race issues, that we also encourage our white young women. I think they are under stress. Thank you very much. I think I'm trying to crisscross, and also just to say that we will take into consideration the education, the main issues, but we do have the AGDI report that is coming now. The other issue, I think, it's age of consent, which is a big issue. We have a case now that we have taken to the Magistrates Commission. A man was released who has raped a 12-year-old in a church in Venda. Mm-hmm. In Venda. On high, the bail was 7,000. We all know when you are imprisoned for statutory rape, there's no bail. But what we have found with magistrates, the farther they are from the urban area, the more they use their discretion in a way that is making the communities unsettled. So we just want also to be the eyes where our political organizations are. Please, let's go to courts and also monitor. We are allowed as the Gender Commission to talk to the magistrates at the back. With the Haman Skral case, we talked to the magistrate, a case of a woman who was dumped in the mining area. This man thought that he has died. The Gender Commission went there. The case was there for 7 years, and the magistrates have changed 4 times. So when we went there, we just asked, and it's one of the honorable members, actually, who took the case and said to the gender commission, we must go to Amanskraal. And that woman, that man, that day when we talked to the magistrate, he promised the second time the man appeared, he was actually imprisoned. And the magistrate said, you are not going to get bail. So he has been now sentenced. And I think those are the successes, Honorable Tseke, that maybe we are under-reporting, and I agree with you, we are under-reporting. But we wanted this report not to pollute it, because we thought it's an independent report that we wanted to put here. So the age of consent is a problem. Some people are saying, because we're saying abortion, young people can actually abort at 12 years without the parents. So what is it that makes us say they can't get married without the parents? So we have made them old by allowing them to abort without a parental consent, and then we're fighting when they get into sexual relations and get married at 12. So the Ekutwala reasoning, which is wrong, we are challenging it, is saying these 12-year-olds are already sexually active, and you as government, you have already said they can abort without us. We are trying to stop abortion. Let them get married to an older man and have a child in marriage. And I think for me that is part of the age of marriage, but the women's agency is being highly undermined here, and our reproductive capacity. So I think we will work on more of our powers and challenge even more. But we have a lot of successes. I think that our book now is overflowing. But thank you, Honorable Tseke, for actually highlighting that maybe in our court monitoring means that one legal person who is in a province is actually monitoring a case and leaving out addressing the complaint because we have a shortage of staff. With the restrictions of budget, we have not even employed in key strategic positions, because we have said what is the exchange? How what we get to opportunity cost? Okay, let's do this because we are asked to go to the rural areas. Let's forfeit this position so that we can find something else. We are redirecting all the time, trying to find the balance. But the comments, honorable members, chair, we appreciate them very much. We are going to incorporate. We are going to improve. But as I end on this one, I do, Mom Story, as the person who has been involved in this thing for my life now, with my working life, maybe 20 years since I started working, the National Gender Missionary has collapsed. And the minister doesn't want to hear us say that it has collapsed. So we want the honorable members to know that this is what the Gender Commission has found through its research, and we are raising it with the departments that we are concerned. We have gone backwards rather than forwards, but the challenges also have increased. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to present our research. This is a study that the Commission did, unlike the previous one that was done by the HSRC, and we were looking at assessing South Africa's compliance with global or international instruments on gender equality, as well as its own domestic policies and legislation. I'm going to skip a few slides. I'm happy to say that this is a shorter presentation. I'll skip the few slides, the slides on the CGE mandate. Just go to the background of the study. This study was based on, as I said, looking at South Africa has made a commitment to a number of international and regional gender equity commitments and instruments, and we wanted to look at how it complied and progress made. And this study was done in conjunction with the United Nations United Nations Economic Commission for Africa, UNECA. Basically, they do the study across Africa. So South Africa was just one of a number of countries that committed to doing this assessment. and we followed a formula prescribed by them. The terms of reference were determined by them, and we followed the framework that they decided. And South Africa has committed itself to a number of conventions. For instance, in 1979, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women in 1985, the Beijing Declaration and Platform for Action in 2008, and the SADC Protocol on Gender and Development. These are some of the conventions and declarations that the country has signed up to. And these were aimed at transformation or gender equality and transformation globally, but also applies in those countries that have signed up to these instruments. And South Africa has domesticated some of these, the provisions of these instruments in terms of our own domestic legislation, and therefore we are obliged to comply. And as I said, this was part of UNECA process that's across the continent. The instrument, the African Gender Development Index, that's a two-part instrument. It's got two components, what's called the Gender Status Index, as well as what's called the African Women's Progress Scorecard. So these are the two components that the framework looks at in terms of gender transformation and equality. The first component, the Gender Status Index, or the GSI, it looks at three areas. It looks at what's called social power. That is made up, and looks two components, what's called social power. It looks at education as well as health. And there's the second part is called, the second component is called economic power. That looks at income and employment or time use, that compares progress made by women in relation to men. And the third component is called political power. So it looks at representation of women in public sector decision-making processes, as well as representation of women in civil society decision-making processes. So these are the areas that are looked at to measure progress made by women in relation to men. And I'll just skip the technicalities regarding how the measurement is done. Basically, it looks at progress, as I said, it measures progress that women have made in relation to men. The second part is called the African, as I said, the African Women's Progress Scorecard. This part, it looks at all the key instruments, global instruments that the country has signed up to, how were they implemented. So it basically looks at implementation of those commitments. In terms, the way it was scored, it basically it's a scoring between 0 and 2. So the rate, we rate the country's commitment or the country's performance to these commitments in terms of three scores, 0 or 1 or 2, where 0 indicates that nothing has been done, 1 indicates that something was done but progress has been poor, and 2 indicates that there has been excellent progress that has been made. And this is just the way the process was done. It was just to ensure fair and objective exercise. The UNECA team insisted that the CGE hires an independent consultant to lead the project. So the team was the Commission for Gender Equality's research department, but there was an outside consultant. It was a professor from University of Johannesburg who led the study. And we basically, the study involved a lot of information collected from government departments. So we depended a lot on information, accurate information, statistics, and other data that we could obtain from a number of government institutions, including the presidency, the Statistics South Africa, and other government departments, including non-governmental organizations, just to ensure that the data we obtained is from various sources. It's not just from government, but also from independent civil society organizations. And there was also a what's called a Project National Advisory Panel, which was intended to guide and provide input into the work that was done. And as is the case with studies of this nature, there's always difficulties in accessing data. Usually government information is not readily available in a sex disaggregated format. So usually we struggle in terms of getting data that shows there's disaggregation between men and women in order to measure progress. And we found that in many cases government departments and budgets lacked information regarding gender issues, clear gender-related performance indicators. Many of these were lacking. So government departments are still lagging behind in terms of providing information that shows how progress is being achieved in terms of male and female or men and women. So in some cases, these are some of the difficulties that we came across. Overview of the findings, and as just to say this in advance, it's a fairly long research project report. I think it's about 250 pages long. So as the members hopefully will understand, the presentation will not be providing all the details. But in terms of the overview of the study, we found that South Africa in the post-apartheid era continues to experience and display gender divisions. And these are inherited together with economic and other class and racial divisions from the apartheid era. Some of these patterns still hold. We found that patriarchy continues to manifest itself in all spheres of life and serves to underpin some of the most intractable socioeconomic divisions in the country in all different sectors, with women at the receiving end. I don't think this is surprising because previous presentations, some of these issues were raised. In our report, the findings reveal that African women in particular continue to face challenges in terms of gender-based violence and sexual harassment, especially at the workplace and at home. Women continue to face economic disempowerment, high rates of unemployment, and underemployment, pervasive poverty, and political underrepresentation. The report reveals that although there was progress in enrollment, in enrollment of the girl child, we did find progress made in the enrollment of the girl child at primary, secondary, and high school level. This did not necessarily translate into high rates of representation in higher institutions of learning, including management. So what this means is that even though enrollments of girls at primary, secondary, and high school levels increased, at institutions of higher learning, including management levels of these institutions, and as our chairperson has just said, some of our legal public hearings did reveal those inequities at high levels of management at universities. Those enrollment rates did not translate to women occupying higher positions in those institutions, including management. Also, good performance by women in the primary, secondary, and tertiary levels of education did not necessarily translate into higher paying positions in the workplace and leadership positions and economic, political, and key social institutions in our society. So what it means, I think this is fairly obvious, that good performance by women in terms of entering primary, secondary in education and tertiary level education, this does not guarantee them high paying positions in the job market or leadership positions in economic institutions or political institutions or social institutions. The study revealed unexpectedly that the increasing number of young boys are dropping out of school, high school, in large numbers, especially between grades 10 and grade 12. These increasing dropout rates for boys affect their rates of entry into institutions of higher education. in terms of specifics, what education area, what we call social power, as I said earlier on, in terms of the dimension of social power, it looked at education and health. In terms of the first subcomponent, education, there is still a high rate of literacy among men. In other words, there are still more men that are literate compared to women. The dropout rate is especially high for black boys in high school, and decreasing rate of boys enrollment in university and higher education institutions. The report revealed the dropout rates were higher for males than for females beginning in grade 6 for the years 2008 to 2010. Enrollment for grade R has doubled, increasing from 300,000 to 779,370 between 2003 and 2013, over a 10-year period, which nearly reached the level of universal access to education. So enrollment, that's one of the areas where significant progress has been achieved. In terms of health, we found that there's a high level of stunting, which persists in South Africa as a challenge, especially 26% of boys and 25% of girls aged between 0 and 5 years. Those fall into the category of stunted development. The prevalence of HIV/AIDS amongst youths aged between 15 and 24 indicates higher rates for females. So more females are affected by HIV/AIDS infections compared to males. At the percentage, at 81%, 8.1% compared to males at 4%, so almost double the figures. Over 25% of girls had sex with older male partners, which places them greater risk of contracting HIV. We move to the second component called economic power. That looks at employment rate as well as income levels. Women are overrepresented in unskilled farm worker category as compared to the skilled farm worker category jobs. The share of females working within the informal and agricultural sectors declined by approximately 4% and 5 percentage points respectively. Levels of unemployment increased by almost a quarter, 24.1%. from 4.1 million unemployed persons in 2001 to 5.1 million in 2014, so over a 10-year period, for both males and females. Females aged 15 to 24 were most likely to be unemployed, with unemployment rates of 56.3% in 2014. And the largest increase observed was between 2001 and 2014 at 5.8 percentage points. So high rates of unemployment between that age group. The second component of economic power, access to resources. The study revealed that women are still struggling to access socioeconomic resources such as land and other economic resources compared to men. However, the extent to which that's the case was hampered by the availability of information. Information was limited in that area. And women's access to credit services demonstrated an improvement compared to other economic resources. So there was some improvement in terms of women access to credit services. In terms of political power, this is the third part that the study looked at, political power, which looks at representation of women in decision-making processes as well as within civil society organizations at decision-making level. There was a 3% drop in women's representation in the National Assembly from 40% in 2014 to 43%. It should be an increase in the 2009 election. Yeah. There has been a steady increase in the number of women in Parliament from 1994. Our figures show that there has been tremendous progress in the representation of women from 1994. In 2003, the number was 32%, and this continued to increase. In 2004, it was 33%. The largest increase was in 2009, when it's 44%. However, after 2004, there was a small drop. Women are highly underrepresented in the judicial system, and this has been found through our legal department has done assessments of women's representation in the judicial system. Of the 239 judges appointed in the Superior Court, male judges represent 66%, while female judges represent 34%. So there's high levels of gender inequality within the judicial system. Now, the second part, the African Women's Progress Scorecard. This looks at implementation of global commitments by the country. It measures the qualitative assessment in relation to government performance in implementing the provisions of global and regional gender instruments. These are done in some cases through domestic policies and programs and strategies. South Africa has ratified instruments that are key in leading to gender equality or are intended to lead to gender equality. And some of them include CEDAW, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, Article 2 of it, which relates to equality, Article 16, equality in marriage and family life, the optional protocol to CEDAW, the Beijing Platform for Action, the protocol on the suppression and punishment of trafficking in persons, especially women and children, the Convention on the Rights of the Child. These are some of the global commitments that the country has done. In terms of the overview of how the country has performed, we split this into two areas. The areas where our findings show that the country has shown good progress and performance, and the second component where the country is performing poorly. In terms of the areas where the country has shown good performance, we found that the country is performing well in terms of the ratification, reporting, promulgation of laws, developing policies, and involvement of civil society. So what it means is that the country has done very well in showing political commitments to many of these global instruments. And not just showing political commitment to ratify, but also reporting as well as incorporating the provisions of these instruments into our domestic laws and developing the necessary policies and the involvement of independent civil society organizations. So the country is doing well around those areas. The report also revealed progress in gender policies and gender-related legislations during the past two decades. So South Africa has an impressive amount or the impressive number of legislations dealing with gender issues. So the country is doing well in those areas. We have also found that the country has performed satisfactorily in terms of involving and consulting civil society organizations on issues relating to gender mainstreaming. There was therefore generally plenty of political willingness in the country to push and drive the gender agenda at the highest political levels. Now, in addition to those areas, we also identified areas of what we regard as poor performance. There's more details in the report. Unfortunately, we didn't put everything on the slide, but in terms of areas of poor performance, we found that areas such as monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of those commitments, the dissemination of information throughout society, capacity development and accountability. These are the areas where government has performed poorly. So what it means is that government was supposed to put in place mechanisms to monitor and evaluate the implementation of these commitments or these policy to policies and legislations and strategies relating to gender transformation. And not only that, the government was supposed to, or at least systems were supposed to be in place to disseminate the information relating to these, so that to inform society about these commitments and what is required, the rights that people have under these instruments, and to develop the necessary capacity, state capacity, to implement these policies and programs, and to enforce accountability where areas where performance or implementation was poor. We found that government is not doing very well in these areas. The country has achieved consistently low scores of between 0 and 1 in terms of performance in these areas. The challenge, therefore, is clearly in the area of capacity to implement government policies, programs, and plans relating to the promotion of gender equality and transformation in line with these international commitments. There was generally a failure by government to allocate the necessary budget resources to programs and plans to ensure compliance with relevant gender instruments. There was also poor performance in areas such as effective dissemination of information relating to the promotion of gender equality and the rights of women, to improve the knowledge and ability of women to claim their rights. So what it means is that it's important for government to distribute information and empower women in terms of greater knowledge. In that way, many women would be able to claim their rights against the state or other institutions. So lack of that information dissemination, it limits the ability of women to claim their rights. Poor budgetary resource allocation and lack of skilled human resources exacerbates state lack of capacity to implement gender policies. So what it means is that because of poor budgetary resources and lack of trained staff, there needs to be not just a matter of resources, but the necessary skilled staff within these institutions would be critical in effective implementation of commitments or meeting these global commitments towards gender transformation. The country appears to comply easily. That's what we found, that the country applies to comply easily with technical requirements for signing up to and ratifying these instruments. However, the country appears to struggle in terms of reporting consistently. Reporting does take place, but the consistency of reporting was fairly dismal. The country was failing to submit reports regularly and on time. In some cases, there were instances where the country reported after 5 years after the deadline had passed, and by that time the information is no longer useful, or it limits the capacity to act to rectify whatever was amiss. The country's second periodic reporting in 2015 on the African Charter on Women and People's Rights, it was so late that, in fact, the country had to combine two reports for several reporting periods. The fourth, and the fifth reports were combined into one report. So the country missed two previous reporting periods, and on the third reporting period, it had to combine three reports into one reporting period. Conclusions. The findings show that the country still has work to do in various areas where progress was assessed in compliance with key international instruments. In terms of the two components I talked about earlier, the Gender Status Index, as well as the African Women's Progress Scorecard. We found that patriarchy and male dominance remain important factors in accounting for lack of progress in development and achievement of women in various spheres of society and various sectors. The research shows lack of women in particular, it shows that black women in particular are negatively affected in all spheres of life, and as a result, face the multiple burdens in their social positioning. The report also revealed that employment and leadership statistics are dominated by men, especially in wage pay, highly paying jobs, in high and managerial positions in the marketplace, and as well as in decision-making positions. Violence in South Africa, we also found, continues to threaten the fabric of society, as it is a human problem that affects communities and broader society. We formulated just three policy recommendations for policymakers to consider. The report, as we said, shows that the country performs satisfactorily mainly on those indicators where political commitment was required and it was easily provided. So, in a nutshell, South African political leadership was always willing to show political commitment. But the country performed less well in those indicators where that political commitment on paper needs to be translated into administrative and operational commitments. Policymakers should therefore place greater emphasis on translating policy intentions into practical outcomes. It's recommended that greater resources, institutional skills and financial resources, be devoted towards closing the current gap between policy commitments on paper and practical outcomes on the ground to meet the country's global and regional commitments and obligations. This gap between policy and outcomes appears to be compounded by the voluntary nature of these commitments, lacking enforcement and punitive sanctions for poor compliance. What it means is that even though the country has made commitments to many of these global instruments, many of these global instruments are voluntary in nature. Therefore, lack of performance, there are no negative or punitive consequences to lack of performance or lack of adherence to these commitments. We recommend that the South African government, working closely with institutions such as the CGE, and others within the national gender machinery, and our chairperson has already indicated the national gender machinery has collapsed, we nonetheless recommend that these institutions and role players should prioritize the development of effective mechanisms and processes for ensuring that the country complies with and accounts for the implementation of the provisions of the various ratified global and continental or even regional instruments to which the country is signatory. This is the end. Thanks very much.
Honorable members, other questions?
Thank you, Chair. At least you're starting with the youngest first this time. Okay, there we go. Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation. Now, you've emphasized it yourself that empowerment is the only way to go. One of the things... Thank you. One of the things that I've learned recently is that gender stereotyping is quite strong between the ages of 10 and 14. Now, I'm sure many South Africans and many of us watch TV and we see advertisements. And the kinds of advertisements that are shown to our children, Paula, the thing is really annoying. Maybe I'm too electric today. I'm not sure how we are monitoring the role of advertisers contributing to gender inequality in our country. So between the ages of 10 and 14, our children are learning what is the role of a boy, what is the role of a girl, the man and a woman. Now, I've seen advertisements where it is the woman who is controlled by the man, and where the woman is in the kitchen and must cook. How often do you see a man cooking in the kitchen or cleaning in the kitchen? Whenever someone's doing the washing or the dishes, it's two women comparing two washing powders or sunlight. Ne? And if people are working around a boardroom table or talking to each other, it's men. Now, we've seen some very progressive advertisements like Always Ultra and ENCA. They've got a number of those little almost thought-provoking inserts that they've got into their news stream where they say, you know, who is the racist, who is the this, who is the that, and with 27%, women in South Africa earning 27% less than men. So that kind of thing. So you've got irresponsible advertising that promotes gender inequality, and you've got a few of those places that are doing well. Now, how are we monitoring? Are you as the CGE going to these advertising companies and say, hey, the next time you have an advertisement for a washing powder or whatever, please make sure that you are not stereotyping a woman as the only person who can do the washing, as an example, because it's good. I'm teaching him how to turn the washing machine on already, and he helps me stack the dishwasher, and he helps me with the chores. And if I have a girl, I'm going to teach her how to clean cars and change a tire and whatever. We empowerment comes to consciousness. And just as we need black consciousness in our country for people to see their own value, to see their own worth, we are not going to have racial equality in this country until we have gender equality, especially with 51% of the population being female. If I, as a woman, don't have value in myself as a woman first, how then can I have value of myself as a black person or a brown person or a white person, whatever the case may be? So we have to stop this very skewed stereotype of what is a woman's role and what is a man's role in society. So please go and talk to those advertising agents of, I don't know.
Thank you, Chair. What I wanted to talk about was page 9 on the presentation. But I want to appreciate the research that has been done by CGE. And just to broaden the issues, I thought you say the gender division is inherent. It's inherent in the system.
Mm-hmm. Structural.
Yes. Structural. If you understand what I'm talking about, we should be eradicating a system that is divisional,
yeah,
in terms of race, mm-hmm, gender,
age,
and, you know, age and other issues. But that structural division, we're not challenging it. We want to fit into it. So you can't change it. You see? That's my problem. So we are superficial in our approach. That is why 20 years down the line, we're still tempering on the same thing, and then we're going back. You see? So if we were coming up with an alternative system, even bureaucrats must also change. If we were coming up with an alternative system that is not going to divide people. We acknowledge that apartheid era divided people economically, you know, in terms of class. It also divided them racially. But that apartheid era, take for instance the special framework. The special framework still has a labor reserve. Mm. And in that labor reserve, it is violent. You know, it is oppressive. So how do women go out of that? So you're not even attacking that, you see. So in your research, don't be apologetic, because we have a tendency in the last 20 years to apologize for things that we did not make, but things that we want to change. For if you want to change something, like patriarchy is like an amoeba. It fits into every shape that you build. So if you're going to challenge gender stereotypes, for instance, we were challenging in the 80s that adverts of cars, we were only challenging that, adverts of cars that women will portray a car. People are buying a car, but there's this woman who's half naked. Yeah. Adverts have gone back. As you say that the gender machinery has collapsed, adverts have gone back. You know, because we were not even going further to say which adverts is advertising gender stereotypes and all that. But we thought, you know, the unfortunate part is that with gender, you have to conscientize. You know, not just because women are wearing the skirts, they understand their own oppression, because they are implementers of that particular society, that particular system, because their socialization, you take it from birth. Who decided that women must wear pink and then boys must wear blue?
Okay. Mm.
Who decided that?
Okay. Cool.
You know, from there, from there in hospital, when the child comes out, immediately that child is discriminated. They have bought, the market has decided, it's like Valentine. Who said the 14th it's the Lover's Day? Just because one person decided on that day that he was going to be romantic. Now everyone feels romantic on that particular day. After the 14th, they're no longer romantic. So, and I'm saying, we allow markets to dictate to us what, how should, that's where gender role starts. The boy comes and then they celebrate and then they're going to, no, the boy's carrying the same name. It even starts there, even marriage. You decide to take the male surname. Why? Why do you give your identity to a man when you had an identity throughout? You had an identity as a woman. But all of a sudden, because this person decided to go into partnership with you, that's where you lose it. Even on that day, you decide, oh, I'm going to be called a Sibanyun. I have always been a Chweu, so why Sibanyun? And you die being a Chweu. You still be the Patricia, and you know. But now you have decided to take, and by law, and then the next thing, you now have to ask this person every time permission. So, and I'm still saying, if we don't go into education and change the content of education, I have a grandson. You know, my grandson, every time I try to correct him, you are a boy, but you can't always say, I don't play with girls. And who taught him it's the pre-primary education? At the crash there, they decided that they will separate him from girls. So those preschool teachers, which we don't value, that's where they implement most of the things. And the things that you learn from age 0 to 5, they stay in your mind forever, in your life. So if we want to change society, and you must know, it's not going to be easy. Like, I don't want to lie to you. It's not going to be easy to challenge patriarchy, because patriarchy rules society. It is one pillar that capitalism has continued to oppress women. You know, in your stats, you say, page 18, that women enroll, for instance, women enroll at primary, and that does not, at the end, even if they go to tertiary, it doesn't assure them that they will be employed. When they go to employment, you must look at where males are employed, they even earn more than women. So, so whatever that we do at an early stage, it doesn't, the outcome, it's not what we wanted. Because we thought education will remove women from poverty. But we still had the system that oppresses them. So even if we have that system that oppresses them, you give them education, at the end of the day, doesn't guarantee their employment. When they employ, they'll always employ a male person or a white woman first, or a black woman will come later. You go to an interview, you go in that interview, you have the same qualification. You're going to be measured with the same measuring stick, but you have different conditions that brought you up. Or even you come from the township, this one comes from the suburb, it's a white person, you go to the same interview, but the first person, because they are relaxed, they don't panic, the way they, because of the situation where they come from, you know. Here you are seated with a number of people that you must, you call it black tax, that you must ensure that they get a bread at the end of the day. You go to that interview, you're not sure if you're going to get this job. This one is a luxury, that this is optional. Even if she doesn't get the job, she's got support from the family. You don't have support. You are from the same institution, versus you competed with the same measurements, but still your conditions are not the same, you know. So, and I'm still saying, if we want to change the system, let's look at the system, how it has oppressed this category of people, and how are you going to change that system to give it a leverage so that this one becomes into the equilibrium, yeah, into the same line, yeah. If you want me to be in the same line, give me condition, give me material, resource. Give me those material resources to be in the same path so that we can compete in the same level. So gender roles and all that, it's not going to be easy. You're fighting a giant, and that giant is not prepared to let go.
And it existed longer than race.
Yes, it has existed even more than, longer than race. Capitalism existed at the beginning of society, you know, when there was a primitive society, when it collapsed, immediately capitalism came. So the acquisition of property, that's where it started. So if you want to really deal with that matter of oppression of women, you must eradicate so many other things in the process. I think I have covered all the things that I wanted. So it relates to land and everything else. Whatever that you're going to do, please ensure that you conscientize. Don't just leave. You know, the way you also present, Mamnar, your commissioners, the way you present, the last part that you presented the flesh that we wanted. So when you come up with all these issues, because people don't understand why you're failing. So if you come with technicalities, they're not going to understand. You must touch the emotions of people when you present. Ensure that whatever you say, you are on point in terms of how to get their emotions attached to what you are saying. Because this thing is so divorced in such a way that it says, no, it's a women's issue. Okay. They will deal with it, you know. So, and nobody wants to get involved in it because they are not affected. And those that are affected, they are even scared to even talk about it. It's like a taboo, you see. So when you present as if there is no tomorrow. Thank you.
Honorable Story. The Jefferson, I really have to commend the CGE. I didn't have enough time to respond to Comrade Lulama. The chairperson, but Honorable
Chetu has mentioned that, you know, the way she unpacked the chapter, that is what we wanted. It was good. And by so doing, now it comes back to me, we cannot say, after we have had this presentation, and say ECG is failing. If ECG is failing, we're all failing. Yeah. So this last document of the AGDI, I think the research, it gives us, you know, the response that we wanted. You may think that it speaks in parables, but it's because of the system that Upet is mentioning. So I think, Chairperson, what I want to say here is that in most cases we talk to ourselves. You see, we are locked up in a boardroom right now, and from here we are going back to our offices and go to the chamber. And I think the vehicle that Parliament has established, the multi-party, especially now that we are given a day in a month, where some of the members cannot come here, but they've got an obligation to go and address the public when they do their constituency work, are able to engage Nabolula in the manner that she was unpacking, so that people know that at least Upet, what he's saying is the findings, the last findings that we have, that no man, this thing of patriarchy, it's systematic. And there are very few people who understand that, you know. And that is the reason why it's so difficult for us to undo this. So that when we discuss this, Chairperson, people, you see, I'm going to sound as if there is one thing Uthixo ayenza, because we are not equal up. Some people are more clever than the others. Now, if you lock yourselves up and you don't disseminate the information, you are not going to resolve anything. So, Benditi Chairperson, in our programs, we are going to be calling Abolula and the Commissioner Zaki, because what they have given us here, I think it's more explanatory according to the unpacking of the INC. Ukuthi, what problems are they encountering? And why do we have... You remember I said, why is it this? What are we not doing correctly? And then she came out with all these things. But it's not their responsibility alone, that's what I'm saying. It's our responsibility, all of us. Yes. Because the system is within the government. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the CGE for the report. But I would like to talk on the issue of land. Because black people in the areas, they are still experiencing the division inherited during the apartheid era. Looking at how the black people that are being placed, you go to areas like Kukuletu in the Western Cape, in Soweto, in Alexander, where now people are building informal settlement next to the roads just because they don't have land. I have not seen in the report where you talk about the issues of land, as to whether your program of one woman, one hectare is still in your cards. What is the progress in that program? When talking about land, you must remember that the very people who are suffering are women, because those informal settlements, they do not have basic services. Women are still in poverty and are not economically empowered to raise their families. Thank you, Chairperson, on that.
Thank you. Just to add on Mabengu's point, land and property is one of the economic opportunities for a woman to secure a loan for business, etc., and it also provides security of tenure. Now, there is a difference between having land and owning land. So with that land must come title deed. And one of the concerns I've had for a very long time is what is the level of female ownership of title deed in areas under the jurisdiction of traditional leaders? Because that is a concern. So women don't have title deeds in urban areas, but more so in rural areas. And how are you interacting with and influencing traditional leadership to try and change their perceptions of women and land?
And Gosmawa, I just want to follow up very quickly on what my colleague Terry has said about land. Something that really perplexes me and worries me enormously is the plight of widows, particularly in some traditional areas where they are kicked out of their homes and their land once their husbands have been deceased. Is this something which is being followed up? Because this is a direct abuse of human rights. Thank you.
Speak on the issue of land. I wanted to, in a sense, one of takeaways for me, just in terms of this interaction on this 20-year review. Someone said that because in a sense CGE was just an institution with very limited capacity and limited resources, and here in this room, we are not two sides. You know, we are on one side. And I think someone made an important point that maybe we need to meet even more regularly and share notes. And I think going forward, because there's little that we can do about what has happened in the past, but there is so much that we can do in the future. That the four quadrants, or even in fact, they are also reflected in the on page those quantitative indicators. Measuring gender inequalities, education, health, income, you know, economic empowerment, and all of those things. I think perhaps going forward, CGE should work on producing a strategic plan that we can share in a forum like this, and that will also have indicators as to how the implementation thereof is going to take place. So that going forward, we are on the same page, even just in terms of what the plan is and how that plan is going to be implemented and how it's going to be monitored and evaluated, you know, going forward. And I was going to say that, because in a sense that will show the roadmap even for society. And someone was saying that it is the whole of society that must actually participate in this. And I wanted to say, with a sense of shame, in my own personal life, I'm a grandfather, and our son, who's about 46, has a three-year-old boy. I've been having an interaction with him, seeing the conduct of this young 3-year-old how he shows violent conduct, only to learn that apparently he shows him videos. I mean, you find people like Michael Jackson, who died a long time ago, but the influence he has on children. In fact, I learned that when we went to fetch him from the preschool that they even call him Michael Jackson. Can you imagine? And I was having this, you know, session with him that, look, be careful what, I mean, you may think that you are trying to equip this young boy with some self-defense, you know, skills, but this is not it. You are exposing him to violence. You know, Jackie Chan, this other Chen Khan or whatever, but these people who are fighting. And so his conduct, even to an older sister who is about 5 years older than him, his responses are kind of violent. And at the slightest provocation, he wants to hit. He wants to, you know, he's violent. And I say, this is not the way to bring up a child. Because by the time you want to stop this, it's going to be too late for you. Yeah. Now, coming to the issue of land, around about the 5th to the 9th of November, Minister Nkwinti is convening a colloquium in Johannesburg. In a sense, he's going to be reviewing, and he's doing it through the Commission for Land Restitution. He's going to be reviewing how land reform has been implemented. And I happen to be one of the people who will be been asked to facilitate. And of course, I'm coming from a gender perspective, looking at what has been done and what the weaknesses have been and how those weaknesses can be corrected, you know, going forward. So I think certainly in that area, in that department that is responsible for land reform, there is this thinking about reviewing what has been done and I think redetermining a future course of action. And there's going to be an opportunity for critical thinking and for critical contributions towards changing the direction and perhaps even the pace of land reform, you know, going forward. And certainly one woman, one hectare is still on the cards. I mean, the department, of course, you know that they renamed the program One Household, One Hectare. And the groundswell on the ground is such that is not acceptable. I mean, people are insisting, and it's in the end, and again, it's patriarchy that is driving that agenda, because it's more palatable, for example, to traditional leaders, that they hear of one household than hearing of land and woman and a direct relationship. And it's precisely, and the whole thing was really aimed at that, breaking that barrier of thinking that the relationship between women and land is not an important relationship. It is a very important relationship. And the whole thing was aimed at changing that perspective for men to come to accept that there is absolutely nothing wrong in having women having a direct relationship, you know, to land in their own name, not via the father, not via the sibling, male sibling, not via an uncle, and not via a husband because he happens to be married. Yeah.
I just want to add to what Ms. Ngoki has said. The Honourable Member raised an important issue in respect of traditional land ownership. With Clara being repealed, it left a huge gap because traditional leaders had huge amounts of land in their hands, and no one spoke about it. So there is a current bill that's doing its rounds now, and what it does, it proposes that land must be transferred to individuals and also communities. And what we said was, before you transfer the land or before you give title deeds, ask the person or the community to show what land it's got for women to acquire ownership of land, and make sure, as the Honourable Member says, that women acquire title deeds and they own the land. So that's a proposal we made to that bill. It's the security of land tenure bill. it's a draft bill at the moment. So after the summit, I'm sure they're going to revise that bill a little bit more. But we're monitoring that bill, and we have made submissions to the effect. Have plans that really make meaningful ownership to women before you make anybody ownership.
Thanks.
Can I just add 2 points? On the question of widows, as you know, we kind of underfunded. Now what we do, we partner or we support under other institutions. For instance, the institutions that work on Take the Girl Child to School, CGE, does that. Men for Change, and there's another project in the offices of the premiers. So they've got a project on widowhood. So we work closely with them. So where we cannot on our own, we look at what's happening and give that support. The second one is patriarchy embedded in the system. That is true. And my sense here is these reports don't have to serve to this committee only. Parliament should listen to this report and take action. Thank you.
Chair, if CGE could help a grandfather like myself, when going home or when I am at home, you know, my granddaughter comes to me, hugs me, kisses me, opens my stomach, and asks me to blow my stomach in and out. And then I do all that. And then she in turn does that. And then she wants me to rub her stomach like that. What do we do to make myself, you know, comfortable with what to think the other man is not going to think like myself? Because I'm not thinking of raping the child. I'm not taking advantage of my daughter when she does things like that. But these things happen. You know, children are innocent, especially the girl children. I'm not saying respond, but I'm saying I'm giving only food for thought about that age and their, you know, behaviors and their response to really prevent them from being harassed, sexually harassed by the old people. You know, I love my daughter, and I love to play with her, but I'm not sure if the other old men will do the same thing. So what do you do to prevent that?
Sihlalo, Ndicinga, it comes back to the theme of empowerment. We need to empower our women now. Those who are mothers, grandmothers, and schoolgirls, we need to empower them. What are their rights? Where do they go when they have a problem? We start there. Then we have to start with the structures and the concepts and perceptions and stereotypes within society. But if we empower and liberate a girl's mind, she will then in turn pass it to her daughter, who in turn will pass it
to her daughter. And as soon as women start standing up for themselves, they will be less inclined to be owned or victimized or assaulted by men. Because when a woman knows her worth, just as I'm talking about black consciousness as an example of the kind of consciousness we need to engender in women. When a person has self-worth, self-value, and believes that they don't need to put up with this nonsense, they'll put their foot down, their feet down, whatever. So it is empowerment. Empower the woman, liberate her mind, create a female consciousness, and she will put that man in his place, if need be. She will then demand a seat at the boardroom table. She will then put her hand up and say, consider me for that position. She will then raise her hand and say, I am a victim, I'm doing something about it, and I'm going to change my life, which reminds me about this Me Too, hashtag Me Too campaign. We don't just need women saying hashtag Me Too. We need women coming out and naming and shaming those rubbishes. Because as soon as men know there is a consequence to their actions, that women are standing up for themselves, because it's all very well when you can hide behind anonymity. But when Miss A says, Haike, Kodwa, Mr. Z did this, but there isn't safety. So all women are doing now is saying hashtag Me Too. That is not going to change. So empower. We need to empower women by letting them know their rights, let them know where they can go to receive the help and support that they need. And from that empowerment, it'll go down the generations, and women themselves will put an end to the atrocities that are being committed against them. They will put their own feet down. We just need to empower them. Women can do it for themselves.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You know, I have a feeling that all the Honorable Members, what we have been talking about is that maybe it goes to the fact that this report is brought and all of us are sitting in different committees. And in those oversight committees here in Parliament, the different departments come here. And maybe one of the things that we can do collectively is to actually hold these departments accountable for all the findings that are in our report. Because we are quite, we're pointing where there are issues in terms of this report. One of the, just outside this, I will say that with sports also, I don't want to repeat what we have already said because I'm taking it in, all of it. Sports is not supporting that much women's sports. And one of the things that we have tried to do was to call SAFA to account to the Gender Commission. But we're asking the members to keep the women's sports codes supported by government and also the private sector. I think even political parties can also have one liner that speaks to women's sports for them to be supported. It's all our girls, and it's when they become professionals. And whilst I'm there, I know that there is a pending case. All of us know this case. I could see when Honorable was talking about the father, the grandfather role, myself, my heart, you know, dropped a bit. And I think you were right, this the systemic
conditions of patriarchy. They almost force us to drop, and then you always almost don't want to talk about it. The Custer case is not closed. Why it is not closed, honorable members, is that Sport is grappling with the policy of AWF. The policy of IWF is on women who look like men, who are born with two signs of the male and female. And just on interrogation, the sport seems to be designed for a binary society. So you must be a male, you must be a female. You can't be in between. So the case is now pending where it's in their arbitration. And I think that the Department of Sport, in your oversight, is to actually just ask how far are they in that case. There are two cases. There's an Indian caster, and we have a South African caster. Excellent sports women. And what is found when they are tested, there is a high testosterone in them. So the sporting code internationally usually puts a suppressant for one of the hormones, so that that hormone is not over and above what you can find in an average woman. So secretly, it seems as if our own sports person has been subjected to this for her to participate in sport. But we all know that she has worked so hard for many years, and she wouldn't want it to be a focus for her. But the focus is really on the LGBTI issues. That even in the gays, lesbian, intersex, bisex, queer, there is also an intra-struggle. Because Casta is part of the intra-struggle, is intersex. But you will find that the discrimination can be done by lesbian women who she contests with against her, which is also that struggle. The same intra-struggle happens with our girls who play soccer. That your heterosexual girl who gets into the space will be forced to adapt to a culture of lesbian culture. Because if she doesn't do it, she can't play that sport. She was going to be bullied. And I think for me, those are the struggles of the LGBTI communities. And I think that we should try and our families cannot cope with the other child. Our families are struggling. So I think there's an issue you raise about the origin of the family. Seems as if our families also are comfortable with binary. And then when you all of a sudden find your child differently, you also allow the community to kill your child, and you just run inside your house and you close the curtain and let the community kill the child, because with you also you don't know what to do with this child. It's a disgrace to you. And hence start the killings of our women who are lesbians, the rape of our women who are lesbians, and when they go to the family as a source of support or the community, they are killed or they are isolated. So I think that we should be grappling with the difficulties of patriarchy and its understanding about who we are. So I think there's a lot that we have said. Some of it we will process within our committee. I think I take the point. I think one of the things that we should be thinking about for our APP is actually to do a research on the title deeds, because we know that all the municipalities are responsible now, have been on this campaign of giving people their back. Human Settlements has been giving people back the title deeds and you know, the access to communal land. I think we should be able to help with that. We will find out if we can get resources to do that research so that we can have exactly that. I think for me it's an important thing to follow. Yeah, we do have the media work. I know that we are working with SABC Foundation, and they do give us a sponsor. They give the messaging. If you have noticed, there will be messaging that is coming from the Gender Commission. We will have to sharply focus on the messaging, but they also do come to us for them to train them on gender, the NEMISA. But I will appeal again, because this is a multi-caucus. You have SABC and the other agencies that come and report here, that we can also raise the gender mainstreaming issues that we have raised. Patriarchy needs all of us to come together and deal with it, because the advertising agencies, they come to account also here, especially the ones that are under sports art. They are under arts and culture department. We do also work with education. Basic Education has actually asked us to work with them on developing a curriculum on gender. So I think we are also involved in that also. On land and widowhood, we are also involved in cases. We have a case in Mpumalanga, but it's a continuous case, this one. When a man dies, the whole family comes back and takes all the assets, and the widow is left alone. So we are working with the Master of Courts on those restoration of those rights. So there is work that we are doing around that. So hopefully, what we are requesting, I think, for the multi-caucus to do is to take these findings. We are concerned about the political parties. All that we are saying is the Gender Commission. This is a clear message. Whoever comes into power must not take us back. So the political parties must make sure that the progression of women in leading in the political sphere is not going to go back. And we have noticed that, and we are appealing to the multi-party caucus that the political parties must also have a standing commitment of making sure that women are in the spotlight and they occupy public office in the way that they were doing in the Mandela era. We want them to be maintained there. So whoever comes in as the political as a gender commission, our interest is that no regression, we are going forward. So lastly, I'm asking us, for once, at some point, we could meet without the ideology as women, and we would be specific on a woman's issue and take it forward. So I think for me, that will also help the Gender Commission, so that when we come to your women political organization, when we call all of you together, at least we can see with SALGA Commission that women, they agree, besides the political agenda thing, that we need to address this on women, we need to address issues of widowhood, we need to address issues of land. So we are asking that we go back there, because part of the collapse of the gender machinery has been that as women, we have put more ideology at the front rather than starting with our women's rights and gender rights issues. Thank you, Sihlalo. I think CEO. Okay.
CGE, as a veteran, I think we've finished
we don't want political parties, when they talk about women's issues, to just talk about their political party ideology. So that is all. That is the ideology we are talking about with political parties. That when we meet, we're talking, like now as we were talking here, I could hear that we all are for women and gender rights. And I didn't hear any flavor of any kind. And I think for me that this is what will help to take women forward. So that is why I was raising it, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member.
All right, amended. CGE, thanks very much for all the information. But I'm going to give you a homework. your researcher.
Okay.
Think broader. And actually look at the oppression of women by other women. How do we fight that? How do we stop it actually spreading? Because it's going to destroy the fiber of humanity. Men have been selfish. They are selfish, they believe they have all the powers,
mm-hmm.
and they forget one thing. Mm-hmm. They can't force us to dance to their music of one string. We are the pillars of the world. And that will never change even when we're in the grave. Thank you. Why? Thank you very much. We can adjourn.